care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from ThinkerToys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. ThinkerToys is open daily.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Malignano. Six-term Congressman Mark Foley didn't leave any time for snipers to draw a bead. Yesterday, it was about private emails to young pagers on Capitol Hill. Today, it was a not-so-private letter to the clerk of the House.
The Honorable the Speaker, House of Representatives, sir. I hereby resign as the representative of the 16th Congressional District of Florida, effective today. Signed sincerely, Mark Foley, Member of Congress.
Foley was considered a shoe-in in his Florida district. Republicans confident they wouldn't lose the House because of a Foley loss. Now they have got to be worried. Let's go live to Florida. CBS News correspondent Peter King.
Well, Lou, the big question now is, can Republicans name a replacement nominee? Arthur Anderson, the election supervisor in Foley's district of Palm Beach County, says they sure can.
However, Congressman Foley's name would remain on the ballot.
And any vote for him would go to the replacement. Some political analysts are already saying Foley's former seat is a lost cause, no matter who they nominate. Democratic candidate Tim Mahoney isn't saying much.
Challenges facing Congressman Foley make this a difficult time for the people of the 16th district.
And state elections officials are meeting right now to make sure the Florida statute matches federal election law. Live in Orlando, Peter King, CBS News.
Since 9/11, he's come in for criticism for two portrayals of the hero president. Now the criticism of investigative journalist Bob Woodward is coming from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue itself.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House, which is dismissive of the charges in the Woodward book. Spokesman Tony Snow portraying them as nothing new.
The book's sort of like cotton candy. It kind of melts on contact. We've read this book before.
Snow denies there was any administration effort to mislead Americans about the increasing number of attacks on U.S. forces in Iraq. Further, he rejects Woodward's report of angry policy rifts between the Secretaries of Defense and State. Snow quotes Condoleezza Rice, calling it ridiculous. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Criticism of President Bush from another quarter. In a new video posted on the internet, Al-Qaeda's deputy leader Ayman al-Zawahiri calling President Bush a lying failure for saying progress had been made in the war on terrorism. Another school shooting, another school death this morning at a rural Wisconsin school northwest of Madison. A 15-year-old walks in with a couple of guns. A janitor gets the shotgun away, but the kid squeezes off three shots from the handgun into Principal John Klang, who died of his wounds this afternoon. District Attorney Patricia Barrett says the boy's in custody. No real motive yet.
At least 2 days before this, he made some statements to a friend in regards to the fact that he didn't believe that Mr. Klang would make it through homecoming.
Other kids called him a loner who talked of hurting other kids in school, and there won't be a homecoming at Watson School. It's been canceled. After a day of teasing the all-time closing record, stocks today fell. The Dow down 39. The Nasdaq was off 11.5. This is CBS News.
To withdraw, to go away, to disappear. That's how the dictionary defines retirement. Time to redefine. Your generation's definitely not headed for bingo night. In fact, you could write a book about how you're going to turn retirement upside down.
The best book on retirement is the one you'll write, The Dream Book from Ameriprise Financial. To talk with an advisor near you about your retirement dreams, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE today.
Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member NASD and SIPC.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an amoeba.
An amoeba.
Uh-oh, got a split.
Oh, bye.
No, I got a split in half. You know, us amoebas always growing.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you while you're still growing.
Great, because here I go. Much better.
Well, you can both visit AflacSB.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Relatives of some of the 100 concert goers killed in a Rhode Island club spent hours today begging the judge to reject a plea deal for the club owners, but the judge refused and sentenced one brother to 4 years in prison and the other escaped jail time with probation. The Superdome last weekend, Commander's Palace this weekend.
This restaurant launched the careers of chefs like Paul Prudhomme and Emeril Lagasse. Commander's Palace proprietor T. Brennan Martin says it's been a long, arduous haul to get here.
We were silly enough to think we'd be open by Christmas, originally. So then it was Mardi Gras, then it was Jazz Fest, and here we are, we're beating Halloween.
Although Hurricane Katrina did not flood the Garden District neighborhood, the storm tore the roof off of the building, and rain soaked the 126-year-old restaurant. Its first post-Katrina seating will be for Sunday brunch. At Commander's Palace Restaurant, Chris Miller for CBS News, New Orleans.
And I'm Lou Maliano, CBS News.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss?
Exactly.
Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new.
Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic, cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer, like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
And that would be me. I am your humble host, Peter B. Collins, as we start another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the left coast. And our network is growing. We add a new station on Monday, KBBR, in Coos Bay, Oregon. We'll have a little party to celebrate that. We've got a lot to talk about in only 3 hours to cover so many important issues. Our first guest today is Gore Vidal. He'll be joining us in just a moment. Coming up in half an hour, Melanie Sloan, who checks in every week from Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Well, there's a new Republican congressman who has resigned just in the last 24 hours. Mark Foley, the chair of the House Caucus on Missing and Exploited Children, has resigned in disgrace after being accused of text messaging explicit sexual messages to teenage interns. And we'll talk about Jack Abramoff, who, you know, only went to the White House, what, 650 times? Mel Goodman, a principled American and a former CIA analyst, joins us an hour from now. We'll get his take on the new torture legislation and his thoughts on the CIA and how this legislation might shape the chemistry at the agency. Also on the program today, media critic Rory O'Connor will join us. We're going to talk about the latest crop of political ads and how the internet is being used for political campaigns, not just to raise money. And that interesting difference between the cover on Newsweek's International Edition, which talked about the debacle in Afghanistan, and the cover here in the United States, which was a little soft piece about Annie Leibovitz, the celebrity photographer. And in our third and final hour today, Brad Friedman joins us as usual, the proprietor of bradblog.com. He got a plug from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. the other night on the Hardball TV show. We'll also talk about Brad's legislation that's been picked up by Senator Boxer to require paper ballots for this November's elections. And if we can, we're going to hook up with a voter integrity conference in Cleveland, Ohio that's kicked off this weekend. And one thing they're celebrating is that a court has ruled that the ballots from the tainted 2004 Ohio presidential election cannot be destroyed. So at least forensically, we might find out exactly what happened. You're invited to call the program whenever the urge strikes you. As long as the First Amendment is still in full effect, You can reach me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And you can also email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. I'm very pleased to present our first guest today. He's the author of more than 20 books. He is a man who's a great student of American history and an outspoken critic of this administration and a truth seeker about 9/11. Just to mention a few attributes of Gore Vidal. Mr. Vidal, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Very happy to be there.
Let me ask first up what you make of the Senate's passage last night of what I have called the Joe Stalin Interrogation and Detention Act of 2006.
Well, I think instead of Stalin, we should talk about the true father of it, which I think is Cheney. It's the first sadomasochistic vice president we've had that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
And his passion for torture, I mean, it's quite embarrassing. He rushes down to Congress to lobby people, to get them to vote for what is barbaric. You know, Genghis Khan never showed such interest in torturing his captives.
Mm-hmm.
And here we have a vice president and a constitution and a legal system to protect even enemies of the United States. But I think now he's decided everybody in the United States is an enemy of him or of his regime or of the junta, the gas and oil junta that governs us. So they're going all out, and we are the enemy, the victims.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very funny thing to have an administration which so deeply dislikes the people.
Well, and there seems to be such a disconnect because, you know, nobody who's rational believes that a policy of torture and unlimited detention and these kind of expansive expansions of presidential power will make the American people safer. It appears the only people who are going to be kept safe are incumbent Republicans who think that this is going to help them hold on to power this November.
Well, I think the Diebold, the electronic voting machines, will probably do it. I think that normally they would be voted out rather heavily, if we can go by the recent polls. They are not doing well. And everybody hates the war. Everybody's tired of Bush. And Cheney, you know, we just wish he would rather go away. So I don't, they have no strong suit. I just watched Spike Lee's movie on Katrina on HBO. My God. I sat there with an old friend of mine, a guy from Germany, who was always pro-American and anti-German. And he said, my God, does this go on in your country as we went, you know, from one group after another, drowning and being ignored? And what was horrible were the insurance companies. You know, they are really like buzzards picking these poor people who paid loyally more than they should have paid for insurance. Oh, well, that's for water damage. Yours is wind damage. Oh, no, no, no. And the other way around. They always win, and they always don't pay.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy said, I thought this was a, you know, decent country. I said, it used to be. You just came a little late.
Well, let me ask your sense of the significance of this this torture bill. It's called the Enemy Combatant Tribunals Act or something like that. But it's just been amazing to me to watch over this past year as the administration has pushed for the freedom to torture. And John McCain tried to challenge them, and he won some face-saving victories, but the legislation that the president signed included a signing statement which basically said he reserved the right to disregard it at will. And then we had this episode this year ginned up just in time to divide the electorate in advance of the November elections. And it's really gross to me to see an issue of this significance being used for domestic political purposes, because this is a legacy that will live on for a long, long time, well beyond the winners or losers this November.
Well, I think that's the intention, and as I've followed this debate, if you can call it that.
There wasn't much.
No, there was not much, and the press, I think, has never been more poisonous and more absolutely irrelevant. They will not take on anything except repeat what people, officials, have told them to say. The main thing, my response was to hear in my own head an ancestral voice of mine. I was brought up by my grandfather, who was a blind man from the age of 10. And 30 years, he was a senator from Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And I read to him until I was about 17 when I went in the Army. And I remember he was a great constitutional scholar, and he said, he was really working on me. And he said, you know, you can summarize everything that the American Republic stands for, from the beginning on at least, that is in our bones, in our Constitution. And he said, it's just three words, due process of law. They cannot remove your property, your liberty, your life without due process of law. You have to go before a jury. You have to be confronted by legal apparatus, which we've taken centuries to get right over the years, and there it is. And now you have these bunch of crazies saying due process of law isn't important. You see, I'm wartime president. I'm wartime president. I'm wartime president. And
it's hard work.
These people mean to kill us. They want to kill us. I want to save you. Well, anybody who believes that would think that, you know, Adolf Hitler was the tooth fairy. This is absurd. And where are the voices saying, no, I'm a wartime president. There is no war. Just remember that, my fellow listeners, there is no war. He pretends there's a war, because then he and Mr. Gonzalez and all the people who want to subvert the Constitution can pretend, well, the president has, as commander-in-chief, he has inherent powers. He doesn't have one.
And
the only powers he has are enumerated in the Constitution, and a very short list it is.
And the Supreme Court, even packed with his buddies, has ruled that he doesn't have the expansive powers that he has claimed, either as commander-in-chief or under the murky authorization of force that was passed after 9/11.
Yes, indeed. And that doesn't hold. So he is not a wartime president, because only Congress can declare war. I thought a child of five could figure that one out. They haven't. Now, why haven't more people? The Democratic Party is still a party that goes around and collects money and does party-like things. Why haven't they struck and just said, either we get a declaration of war from the House of Representatives, or you stop this fantasy that the second you are commander-in-chief, you are all-powerful.
And, Mr. Vidal, it was John Warner, the Republican head of the Armed Services Committee in the Senate, who has raised the question about whether the president still has authorization for the occupation in Iraq. And yet the Democrats haven't seized that as an issue or even raised it as a significant question.
Well, it makes you think maybe they're not very serious.
We're going to take a break and return in just a moment with Gore Vidal here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with us. Toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. More coming up in just a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Hello?
What's in the box? Tell me what's in
the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Listen every Sunday morning at 10 and learn from the experts about investing, 1031 exchanges, exit strategies, and the big question, when the real estate market goes down, is it the time to sell or buy? Rock Rollin' Real Estate, your number one source for all your real estate needs. Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a bottle of galushka. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
Then they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. See, people feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by and have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones the safety net by saving them thousands of dollars by avoiding cumbersome legal proceedings. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available and affordable. With over 1,000 living trusts completed locally, they'll work with you to avoid costly probate. Behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, downtown Monterey. Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner. We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with author Gore Vidal.
Welfare for the wealthy, debt, war, corruption, treason, and an open season on human rights. Tears at the fabric of our nation, and the tragic realization is that future generations will pay the big price.
Future generations will pay a big price. This is a little ditty called Wake Up America, and it's performed by the Wickline family and friends from Whidbey Island, Washington. Just some citizens sitting around singing with a political theme. Gore Vidal is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and his most recent book is a memoir published this year called Point to Point Navigation. And I also understand that a play you wrote debuted in Chicago yesterday.
Yeah, I heard it about it. I don't know anything about it, but it's the best man. Yeah,
the best man. Uh huh.
Yeah, I'm told it's a very good company.
Well, and a source told me it was reviewed in the Times, but my edition doesn't have it. The New York Times today. So.
Oh, that's the special Vidal edition, in which there is always a hole where I was.
Well, I often think that I get selected for non-delivery. You know, when the paper isn't there in the morning when I want it the most. Let's take some calls. Jake is on the line from Eureka. Hello, Jake. You're on with Gore Vidal and Peter B. Collins.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Mr. Vidal. I would just like to thank you for all your great works. You absolutely are the best writer alive in America, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, thank you.
And I would just like to get your opinion on this. You know, often I've heard you refer to the United States as the United States of amnesia for, you know, a lack of our historical memory. And it seems to me here we are 30 years later, and it's almost like we're doing Watergate and Vietnam all over again. And, you know, David Ray Griffin has referred to what happened on 9/11 as the new Pearl Harbor, using the language used by the Project for the New American Century. But it seems to me it's a more accurate description of what happened on 9/11 to refer to it as the American Reichstag fire. Mr. Vidal, I'd like to get your opinion on that.
Well, we know, of course, that the Hitler gang was responsible for burning the Reichstag. I know there are conspiracy theorists, of which I am not one in this case, that the Bush people were responsible for 9/11, but you know, I would love to think they were, but they aren't. I have proof. Everything else they mishandle, why would they handle that so well? Obviously, a group of other people did it.
So it's their broad-based incompetence that undermines theories that they had a hand in it.
Oh, no, you'd have to laugh. Osama or whoever did it got away with it, and it was a beautifully planned horror of which we were all victims. And the only thing that they did know, they had plenty of warning that bad news was coming our way from Osama bin Laden. And it was coming in Mubarak, president of Egypt, Putin in Russia. They all were friends of ours at that moment, and they just said, look, you know, something awful's going to happen to you. And there he was cleaning brush down there in Crawford, Texas, the garden spot of the world. paid no attention. And then there he was reading about the pet goat to his peers in kindergarten in Florida.
But Mr. Vidal, at minimum, do you agree that the official stories of 9/11 don't match the physical evidence in many, many respects?
Well, the one that's crucial to me, because my father made the law. My father was director of Air Commerce under Franklin Roosevelt, and he served from 33 to 37, something like that. He's the one who said if a plane is hijacked, the Air Force will be scrambled. Fighter planes will go up to bring the hijacker down to a landing field somewhere, or if necessary, shoot him down. That is the law. They don't have to ask anybody's permission.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be up there within, I don't know, it's a matter of seconds. Not one of them went up. Now, you can't have that all the way across the country. There's Andrews Field, outside Washington, to protect the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
There is Mitchell Field, if it's still around, on Long Island. Lots of things around New York. Nobody went up. Then their excuse, I was one of the first people to go on television and just say, well, there's something very wrong here. They go up automatically. They're not waiting for an order unless told to stand down. So finally they said, what was it, Otis Air Base, which is upstate New York, or is it, no, it's Massachusetts.
Yeah, it's Cape Cod.
Cape Cod, which is about as far away as you could get. They might have well just sent, you know, for the Canadian Air Force to come down and protect it.
There were fighter jets at the Newark Airport.
At Newark?
Well, yeah.
That's even closer to home.
Yeah. Jake, thanks for the call. We're tight for time, and I want to squeeze in one more. It's John from Carmel Valley. You're on the air with Gore Vidal.
Yes, Mr. Vidal, I'd like to ask your opinion of this giving Bush all this power just the other day. The Congress gave that to him, and it gave it to him by a big margin. I think the vote was 65 to 34. 12 Democrats joined, and they gave this to him when everything he's involved in is hemorrhaging left and right. How do you explain this? I can't.
Well, I think we just have to look for base reasons. Literally base in his case, it's corporate America. They have all the money in the country. They're making more and more money out of the war and then the rebuilding by Halliburton of the countries that we've ruined illegally.
There's a lot of $30 barrel oil in Texas that got a premium price over the last 6 months.
Oh, I'm sure, and will continue so to do. But I would put it down that if you have this much money and you serve only one interest, the 1% of the country that is very, very rich, and corporate America, which has most of the money in the country, it's very easy to buy 400 or 500 hacks and put them in the House of Representatives. I mean, there are a lot of out-of-work lawyers who are just ready to go. So you just canvass for them. I've watched them do it ever since Richard Viguerie decided to make sure that they could get electoral college votes, that they would go after the small offices, particularly in the South, and, vote pay for sheriff and so on. Then you groom them to go to the House of Representatives and finally to the Senate.
And Mr. Vidal, I wish we had more time, but I can't stop the break coming up. I want to thank you for joining us today and hope we can talk again soon.
Put your hand in the break and make it stop.
Thank you. Gore Vidal with wise words here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey. Automobile enthusiasts know that the world's finest vehicles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include our Mercedes, BMW, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the very automobiles that we specialize in at More Imported Cars, located at 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, right by Windows on the Bay. Stop by More Imported Cars and check out this week's special.
A 98 BMW 740iL in showroom condition. The Kelley Blue Book wholesale is $14,400. The sale price for this week only is $9,990.
For more information, browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R. Or call us at 373-3131. That's 373-3131.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 33 minutes past the hour. Now, if you're a Washington insider, you know, and you own a restaurant, you're really powerful on K Street, and you are a friend of the Bush administration, What's in it for you, and what's in it for them? Well, over the last couple of years, we've learned more and more about the lobbying efforts of Jack Abramoff during this Bush administration. And, boy, he was able to do just about whatever he wanted. And despite the earlier denials of the White House, records now show that there were 485 different contacts between Jack Abramoff and the White House, and 82 of them directly involved Karl Rove. And it's interesting that Abramoff had a secretary named Susan Ralston, who went to work in February 2001 as Karl Rove's executive assistant in the White House. And she became the conduit for back-channel communications between Abramoff and Rove. And we're learning more about this because Jack Abramoff has made more information public from his emails. And considering the source, a guy who has pled guilty and is facing a long stretch in prison, you might be a little skeptical about self-serving information coming out from Jack Abramoff. For example, one of the things that he has revealed is that he sent a note over to the restaurant he owned at the time in Washington called Signatures and said, I want you to take really good care of Karl Rove and make sure you serve him a really nice bottle of wine. Well, the pushback from the White House is Karl Rove doesn't drink. And so if Jack Abramoff was such a good buddy of Karl Rove, wouldn't he know that? If they'd spent time in the skybox at the NCAA playoffs, wouldn't Rove know? I mean, sorry, wouldn't Abramoff know that Rove doesn't drink alcoholic adult beverages? Well, I think that's a pretty minor challenge to the overall picture here. That, well, Jack Abramoff reports he spent almost $25,000 on meals and drinks for White House officials, provided them with tickets to numerous sporting events, and they ambushed Karl Rove on his way out of his house in Washington this morning for a five-second soundbite in which he denied accepting free tickets from Abramoff, and the notion there is that he actually repaid Mr. Abramoff for the great seats and events that he attended. So it'll be interesting to see how all this shakes out. Here's an email from Abramoff to Susan Ralston in March 2002 after this NCAA event. And Abramoff brags, I just saw Carl and mentioned the NCAA opportunity, I guess it was before, sorry, which he was really jazzed about. If he wants to join us in the pollen box, please let me know as soon as you can. And then she replied, Carl is interested in Friday and Sunday, three tickets for his family, ? Abramoff responds, done. Does he want to go Friday night or Friday afternoon or both? Well, it'll be interesting to see. We're standing by to connect with Melanie Sloan, who is the executive director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. We're having a little trouble hooking up. And she has some other interesting news that has broken in the last 24 hours, and now we have her, so I'm going to let her share it with you in just a moment. Melanie Sloan, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You must be extremely, extremely busy.
Oh, it is just such a busy day. Who knew?
Tell us about Mark Foley, who has resigned rather suddenly from the House of Representatives.
Yes, terribly abruptly, in a new House Page scandal. As you may remember, there was a House Page scandal back in 1983, but not in the intervening 25 years, pretty much. Mark Foley sent a series of emails on his personal email account, not a House email account, to a former House page who is 16 years old, asking the young man how old he was, how he liked school, and perhaps most significantly for the boy's photograph. The young man was very troubled by the email exchanges and forwarded them to a congressional staffer. Crew has actually had those emails for a couple of months, and what I did when I got them is we haven't talked about this, but I'm a former sex crimes prosecutor, and those emails were pretty troubling to me, so what I did when I got them was I sent them to the FBI because I didn't know how old the boy was. I know that the pages, congressional pages, are young teenagers,
right.
So he could well have been under 16, which is the age of consent here in Washington, D.C., and we thought the FBI should look into it. Well, yesterday, ABC News reported that the emails went to a 16-year-old page, which meant that he was over the age of consent and doesn't appear that there was actual sexual contact So now it appeared to us like it was a matter more appropriate for that august body, the House Ethics Committee. We thought, even though they do nothing, maybe about improper sexual advances to a page, maybe they'd feel compelled to act about that.
Well, and would they be a little more sensitive considering that Mr. Foley, a Republican, is chair of the House Caucus on Missing and Exploited Children?
I know. Is that not incredibly ironic? It turns out now, ABC News is reporting today, that in addition to the emails that I'm referring to, which are fairly benign, although a little creepy, now there are a bunch of instant messages that ABC has received, which are much more graphic in nature, and include references to sexual organs and sexual acts. Also with House pages.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's those new emails that have led to Mr. Foley's immediate resignation, and it is indeed quite ironic that he worked on exploitation of children on the Internet when that's exactly what he was doing.
Mm-hmm. And I'm resisting a number of temptations here.
It's hard, I know.
I mean, first of all, I had read a story about this, but I did not realize that the page in question was male.
Yes, he is. He's a 16-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm. And, as compared to, for example, the Gary Condit case just a couple of years ago, that involved a woman who was over the age of 21, and it appeared to be consensual, and it also appeared to be heterosexual. This is a rather interesting difference if you compare it to that case. Now, of course, there's no one missing or presumed dead that we know of in the Mark Foley case.
No, there isn't. But, you know, what we have here is the thing that's particularly troubling is pages are young teenagers who are sent by their parents to the House of Representatives, which is basically entrusted with the care of these teenagers. And so for them to be preyed upon by the very people they're sent to serve, it's particularly disturbing, I think. And I think any parent who takes a look at these emails will be distressed by them.
Mm-hmm. And so he has resigned, and he's vacating immediately. He's not pulling a Bob Ney where he wants to hold on to his office until the end of the term?
Nope, he is resigning immediately. And there are only 38 days left until the election. It is now too late for them to put someone else on the ballot. This was a safe Republican seat, so now this is a Democratic pickup. So as sad as this is, I'm sure there are people over at the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee who are not too sorry to see Mr. Foley go today.
Mm-hmm. Anything else that has surfaced so far that you can report on this story?
Wow, don't you think it's kind of enough?
It is. I didn't want to leave any salacious details behind if there are more.
I think, frankly, Peter, we're going to be learning more salacious details in the coming days. I think that what's going to be coming out, what I believe ABC News will be reporting, is the details of some of these other instant messages that were sent to other male pages that are much more graphic in nature.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to do a little investigation, too, to see if Mr. Foley, for example, has been real out front, against gay marriage and on.
Oh, let me just tell you right now, he has. He's, one of those right-wing Republicans who's very anti-gay marriage and, anywhere else he can trounce on gay rights, despite the fact that he most likely is gay himself. It hasn't stopped him.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this is quite a break, and we'll watch this one very, very carefully. Melanie Sloan is with us from Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. They're on the web at citizensforethics.org. And I also wanted to ask you to comment on the new report, which expands the number of contacts reported between Jack Abramoff, the convicted lobbyist, and the White House, in particular 82 different contacts with Karl Rove. This is much greater than the White House has previously led us to believe.
Right. I'm shocked that the White House has not been forthcoming on this issue. As we all know, the White House has had pictures of Jack Abramoff coming to the White House and has refused to release those for months. And now we're learning that there were many more contacts between the White House and Jack Abramoff than the White House has wanted us to learn. And none other than the House Government Reform Committee is letting us know that. So I think there's still probably more to come about the relationship between Jack Abramoff and the White House, but this is an interesting tidbit. It turns out that Jack Abramoff and his associates were at the White House over 400 times in the past few years.
Well, it also, the reporting I've seen expands on something that I've been curious about for a long time, which is the conduit or the potential conduit provided by Susan Ralston. This is a woman who had worked for Abramoff and then suddenly was hired by Karl Rove in the White House in February or March of 2001. And she probably was an enabler of many of these contacts. We know that some of them have been established.
That's right. It seems like many of the meetings were set up through her. She was the person who signed people in through the White House, because you can't just come into the White House. Some White House staff person has to clear you, and it appears that Susan Ralston was indeed that person on many an occasion.
Mm-hmm. Now, from your research, has this information helped corroborate any allegations of collusion by the White House and Karl Rove in the efforts of Jack Abramoff? For example, there was one issue that surfaced related to Abramoff pushing to prevent the White House from endorsing an issue related to about $16 million for a Mississippi tribe in a jail construction deal.
That's right. And what we've learned about that is that Ken Mellman, who is the chairman of the Bush-Cheney reelection campaign committee, when Abramoff was having problems getting that pushed through, Ken Mellman called the Justice Department and got that pushed through for him. So It does appear indeed that there has been collusion between Jack Abramoff and high-level White House officials.
Well, and I just actually mistakenly included two different issues there. The prison issue was one, and the other had to do with the White House withholding an endorsement for a Republican candidate for the governor of the Northern Mariana Islands, and that's where the sweatshops were. Clients of Abramoff's operated the sweatshops, and famously Tom DeLay and Richard Pombo and others have supported these offshore factory operations, which, of course, permit the companies to claim that they were made in the USA, but the working conditions and the standards there are far below anything found here.
That's right. And as far as I know, Peter, we haven't seen yet anything about that. The only thing I know for sure is about the Ken Mellman and the efforts on behalf of the prison with the Mississippi Choctaw, but I think there is, you know, much more to learn on this story as well.
Well, this is from a New York Times report in the paper today, and it said Abramoff asked the White House to withhold an endorsement for this candidate, and Abramoff was backing a different candidate. And on October 31st, 2001, Susan Ralston sent an email message to Abramoff that read, "You win," and then a smiley face. KR said, "No endorsement."
Well, there you go.
Yep.
So, it's been clear all along that there's been huge contacts between the White House and Jack Abramoff, and the White House has been downplaying them, hoping the rest of us would just forget about it and think of it only as a congressional scandal. But it's becoming clearer and clearer every day that this scandal affected all echelons of government, including the highest levels of the White House.
And, Melanie, any further fallout from Abramoff that might actually hit ground and make a difference before the November elections?
Well, it seems to be hurting Conrad Burns, the senator from Montana, who's running for re-election. He keeps putting his foot in his mouth on other issues as well, but it does seem that the issue of congressional corruption and the fact that he was the largest recipient of Abramoff-related donations is, in fact, deeply hurting Conrad Burns with Montana residents.
Mm-hmm. Well, Melanie, I want to thank you for this update, and I appreciate your work. We'll check back with you next week.
Okay, thanks, Peter. Bye-bye.
My pleasure. That's Melanie Sloan. She's Executive Director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. We're going to take a quick break and return. We've got room for a couple of phone calls if you'd like to join us at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And in the next segment, we're going to name the shame, the Democrats who voted for the torture bill yesterday in the United States Senate. That's coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
It's In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
Tell you what I got cooking, Dinners Ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinners Ready?
That's right, Dinners Ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you're a regular listener, you know how distressed I've been at the prospect that this bad White House legislation regarding torture policy, detention policies, and the suspension of habeas corpus in the military tribunals, which the Supreme Court said the president didn't have the power to impose. But now Congress has approved the president's plan. And I think yesterday, the 28th of September, was a very dark day in American history. And as you know, I think it's very shameful that a significant issue like this, which diminishes America's standing in the world and the safety of our troops abroad and our citizens in the so-called homeland. And it was used for political purposes, trying to divide Americans and retain Republican control of both houses of Congress in the November elections 40 days away. And I want to single out for mention here the shameful individuals who call themselves Democrats who voted for this legislation, which is simply some of the most obscene that we have seen in recent years. Senator Carper of Delaware claims to be a Democrat. He voted for it. Tim Johnson of South Dakota voted for it. Mary Landrieu of Louisiana, she voted for it. Frank Lautenberg of New Jersey, along with his appointed junior colleague, I think it's Robert Menendez, Joe Lieberman. The Nelson brothers, they're not really brothers, but Senator Ben Nelson of Nebraska and the other Nelson from Florida both voted for this. Pryor of Arkansas. And here's one that I can find no excuse for. Jay Rockefeller of West Virginia. He's the guy who went public last year over the intelligence documents and the intelligence policies. And yet he couldn't find it in his heart to vote against this piece of crap. Salazar of Colorado. Ken Salazar. He's a freshman senator. And he's proving to be one of those dangerous so-called centrist Democrats. Another woman who claims to be a Democrat, and I support her on so many issues, Debbie Stabenow of Michigan, voted for this. And finally, Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania, the one principled Republican who stood up and demanded habeas corpus amendments to this bill, held his nose and voted for it, explaining that he's confident the courts will overturn it. I'm not so confident. Bush has packed these courts, and he set the tone, and he now has the rubber stamp of congressional approval, which was missing when Sandra Day O'Connor wrote this opinion that led to this required legislation. Now, I know the legislation was required, but it didn't have to be this draconian. It didn't have to take America down this dark road. And for the Democratic senators who are up for re-election, like Stabenow, and like Menendez, they'll make the excuse that they had to do this to deprive their Republican opponent of a weapon against them. And I'm sorry, this is a profile in cowardice. Because if you had the courage to stand up to your opponent, you would rally voters around you, you would give them a significant difference between Democrats and Republicans. You would define your Democratic Party in a way that I believe would attract voters and not cave to the pandering intimidation of the radical Republicans in Washington. I am so disgusted with these Democrats who voted, because it was going to pass. I understand that. The Republicans hold the majorities, and Dick Cheney would have been there to break a tie. But this is a defining issue for years to come. The individuals I just named define themselves in a way that I will never forget. Stephen Salinas, you're up on the phones here. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. It's Peter, sir, and curious, sir. And one thing I'd like to know is what's the marital status, or was the marital status, of Foley?
I don't know. We'll look into it. I don't have a profile on him. Hey, Matt, can you check on Mark Foley? Tell us about his marital status. And also, I am curious to see, you know, if he's made really, Melanie Sloan alluded to it, that he's made strong, public statements bashing gays, bashing gay marriage, and here he is pursuing a dalliance with a male page at the age of 16.
And I know, was it the governor from Pennsylvania that came out of the closet?
No, New Jersey.
New Jersey, pardon me.
Yeah.
Well, he was on Hannity last week or the week before, and I'd love to see that segment reviewed again, you know, look at it again after this has happened, because I'm sure that Hannity had plenty of disdain about his, the governor's rationale about what he was doing and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is Specter. He always makes this great big to-do, like he's going to come down hard on the administration.
Right, yeah.
He stands up and waves, you know, he's just going to be really a tough guy. And every time he throws in the towel, you know, it's just amazing how many times he does it.
Well, I agree with you wholeheartedly about Specter. You know, for a moment there, I thought, wow, he's really going to fight for this. And I feel the same disappointment with John McCain. McCain made his negotiation with the White House and basically got snookered, and then went ahead and voted for this thing anyway.
And when he runs for president, we cannot forget it. Steve, thanks for the call. Jackson in Watsonville, I've got a minute. Go ahead.
Hi, Peter. I love your show. Love having a local show with such quality.
Thank you.
Thanks for reading that list. Shocking. Shocking to hear some of the names of those Democrats who voted.
Yeah, I mean, Jay Rockefeller, to my knowledge, is not up for re-election. He's not being challenged or even having a close race. And there's no excuse for somebody who has shown that he knows the corruption of the Bush administration. He knows how bankrupt these policies are. And to embrace this, I'm sorry. It really underscores what Hugo Chavez said at the United Nations. Bush is the devil. And these guys have signed a deal with the devil, a Faustian bargain.
I don't understand why they did not filibuster this measure.
I agree. They should have tried. Harry Reid said.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A school principal is shot by a 15-year-old student.
The principal died. He was pronounced dead at University Hospital at 3:07 this afternoon.
And a security clampdown in the Iraqi capital.
This is pretty extraordinary. I would suggest there's some kind of an intelligence report about an impending attack.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Cammie McCormick. There has been a second violent attack at a high school, this time in Cazenovia, Wisconsin. A 15-year-old student brought with him two guns to school and shot and killed his principal, John Klang. Officials say they don't know what motivated the boy, but he apparently confided in a friend.
At least 2 days before this, he made some statements to a friend in regards to the fact that he didn't believe that Mr. Klang would make it through homecoming.
But the boy apparently didn't tell his friend of his plans. He has now been formally charged with first-degree intentional homicide. In Bailey, Colorado, authorities say the gunman who killed one student and held several others hostage this week sent a suicide note. KCNC-TV's Rick Salinger has that.
In the letter, we understand he tells family members he is going to take his life. There will be publicity, and they will be angry. But he does not say that he is going to go into a high school to carry out his death wish.
Now this.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss?
No.
Exactly. Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new.
Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer, like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
A curfew has been imposed in Baghdad, an immediate ban on not just vehicular but pedestrian traffic until Sunday morning. We asked CBS News military analyst, retired Colonel Jeff McCauslin, what might be behind it.
There's been a lot of concern here at the first few days of Ramadan that there might be some spectacular attack. My guess is the secondary problem might be some belief that the new leader of Al-Qaeda, al-Masri, who took over for Zarqawi after he was killed in June, might be planning some kind of a spectacular attack.
Iraqi officials will only say intelligence led them to the decision. They also plan to surround Baghdad with checkpoints in the coming days.
Bush.
Deputy leader of al-Qaeda called President Bush a failure and a liar. Ayman al-Zawahiri appeared in a video statement released today. Lawmakers are wrapping up their work to hit the campaign trail ahead of the midterm elections. Capitol Hill correspondent Bob Fuss has a progress report.
As they work late into the night wrapping up a session of what Democrats term a do-nothing Congress, lots of major bills are falling by the wayside, including immigration. Democrat Barbara Boxer dismisses a last-minute push to pass a new border fence.
Don't come out here and say, aren't we great? Aren't we doing something? We're building a fence and now everything is fine. That is hogwash.
Congress did finish and send to the president today a controversial bill he wanted to question and try detainees, but couldn't agree on one covering warrantless wiretaps and also will leave without providing a budget for most federal agencies. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Florida Congressman Mark Foley resigned today, apologizing to his family and constituents. He gave no reason for his decision, but it follows questions about correspondence with a male teenage page. CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson has that.
Personal email exchanges between Foley and a 16-year-old page are at issue when the 52-year-old Foley asked the boy what he wanted for his birthday and asked him to email a picture. The boy told a friend the exchanges were creepy and sick. A watchdog group tells CBS News it handed over the emails to the FBI weeks ago.
Until today, Foley, a Republican, had been considered a shoo-in for re-election. Two brothers who owned a nightclub in Rhode Island where a fire killed 100 concert-goers pleaded no contest today to involuntary manslaughter, and the two apologized to the victims' families.
I hear the screams, the broken glass, the terror from that night in my head. The images of people fighting for their lives plays over and over in my head, leaving me to wonder what more I could have done to help that night.
The fire was sparked by a band's pyrotechnics. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss?
Exactly.
Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new. Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic, cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer, like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or...
This hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, media critic Rory O'Connor will join us. We'll talk about some of the political ads and internet activities supporting political campaigns this fall. But first up, former CIA analyst Mel Goodman joins us in just a second.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. People say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections. Run the country into the ground. We're just trying to be greedy. An interval, Cheney, and delay. We just passed a new bill recently. It's for people with no brains.
Yeah, we just passed a new bill recently for people with no brains. I think anybody who voted for that piece of legislation in the Senate yesterday appears to be brain dead or brainless. Let's get some commentary from Mel Goodman. He served for more than 25 years as an analyst at the Central Intelligence Agency, and he's been a guest on our program on many previous occasions. Hello, Mel.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
I'm a little discouraged, I have to say.
It's getting rather unbelievable.
I lived through Nixon, I lived through Reagan, and I thought I had seen some of the darkest days in America in my lifetime. And so I guess I thought I was prepared. And to me, this vote yesterday, which is enabling, authorizing, and produces amnesty for the president and everybody down the line who participated in any kind of law-breaking or, you know, the torture efforts, the unlawful detention of the detainees. We haven't even gotten to the NSA wiretapping bill yet. But it's just breathtaking to me that after the Supreme Court told the president he didn't have a blank check, Congress said, well, let's print one up for him.
Exactly. And the three Republicans who thought they were carving out a deal caved in on just about every major point. And frankly, I thought Senator John McCain was made of stricter and stronger and sterner stuff than that. And that was a special disappointment. But you never saw a Democrat lift his head beyond his breastplate to even get into the battle. I mean, they were strictly AWOL throughout all of this. But it begs the real question, really, of what are we? What is America? What do we really stand for? Do we have a moral compass? Is this a nation of laws? What happened to the humanitarianism and internationalism of Theodore Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson at the beginning of the 20th century, in which the United States led the way in establishing covenants and international arrangements in terms of how to deal with torture, how to deal with abuse, how to deal with arms control and disarmament? This is an administration that's walked away from any internationalist document or policy that has been part of bipartisan foreign policy for the last 100 years or so, certainly going back to the Spanish-American War. It's deplorable, and it's happening so easily. And you know darn well that as soon as the Congress gets around to it, Bush is going to get everything he wanted on the warrantless eavesdropping, and probably will even go further than what the White House has been doing up to now, in which the rights of all of us will be compromised. It will all be in jeopardy, because even under the new detainee language that he has in the new detainee bill, which I think should be called the torture bill.
Well, I've actually...
Legal residents of the United States are now at risk.
That's right. And, Mel, I have renamed it the Joe Stalin Interrogation and Detention Act of 2006.
Yeah, there is a certain fascist ring to all of this. You know, it was Colin Powell's chief aide, Colonel Larry Wilkerson, who had been with Powell for about 30 years at his side, who talked about a cabal, where he talked about the efforts of Bush and Rumsfeld and Cheney basically to overthrow most of the ways we conduct national security policy in this country. And I always remind people that Cheney and Rumsfeld have been together since the early and mid-1970s. This is what they tried to do for Gerald Ford in the mid-1970s, in that short period when Gerald Ford was president, and they went after Henry Kissinger, they went after detente, they went after the CIA, they went after arms control. But the purpose of everything they were trying to do was to establish an imperial presidency and to ignore all of the checks and balances, all of the separation of powers in our Constitution. So the Founding Fathers, who labored so hard to create a document that would allow the United States to operate in war and peace in an effective manner, have really been pushed aside by Bush, Cheney, and Rumsfeld, and some of the legal stars, I thought, in our system, the major parliamentarians, people, and I'm talking about a bipartisan group, Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania, Pat Leahy of Vermont, Carl Levin of Michigan, John Warner of Virginia, Graham of South Carolina, all of them have just about stepped aside, really, and said, okay, Mr. President, you can have your way. You can have any bill you want. If you want to torture, that's fine. If you want to use the evidence from torture, fine. If you want to give already a pardon to anyone who's committed torture, including people who have murdered suspects and detainees in American prisons and secret prisons in Iraq, Afghanistan, and who knows where else, all of this is now legitimate. This is just deplorable. The only good thing that's happened in the last few days is that national intelligence estimate that's appeared that really exposes the fact that Bush has been lying to us, particularly over the past year.
And Mel Goodman, that's what makes this all so surreal, that the evidence continues to mount. You and I haven't needed additional evidence, but to be fair to some of the senators and members of Congress who supported the administration, I can understand it. It would take a great deal of information for them to moderate or even switch their positions. But they're not appearing to be influenced by the overwhelming data that shows the moral corruption of this presidency, their failure to tell the truth, their outright willingness to do shameful things and manipulate significant long-term issues like this for short-term political gain. It's breathtaking.
Well, yeah, I look at this as not only a threat against the Republic, but it's a threat against the document that anyone who has been in government for any period of time has sworn allegiance to the Constitution. That's basically when you take an oath of office or you're sworn into the CIA, as I was in 1966, your oath is to the Constitution. The Constitution is in crisis in this country, and no one is paying any attention to that fact. There's an occasional op-ed, an occasional editorial, and there's some good talk radio, but by and large, if you look at the national papers day after day after day, this constitutional crisis seems to have just escaped everyone.
Yeah. Mel Goodman is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you'd like to talk with us, lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Mel, tell me, from the perspective of a veteran of the agency, the president claimed that he had to have this legislation, had to have it on his terms, and had to have it right now in order to protect the professionals who conduct interrogations and to give them clarity. Now, I'm just overwhelmed that Democrats accepted this kind of rhetoric, got out of the way, and, didn't stand up, even at some personal risk, and say, sometimes lines are crossed, and I just have to say, even if it's the end of my political career, I cannot accept this. And we haven't found a Democrat who can speak that way, and the president is having his way with us.
Yeah, I always thought that on certain issues, people would stand up and be counted, that principle will really mean something. War versus peace, I thought, would be one of those issues. But obviously the Iraq War showed that was an exception, too, that no one was going to pay attention to this rule. I thought the torture and abuse at Abu Ghraib, I thought that was going to be an issue in which people would be willing to fight their swords. And certainly this detainee bill and what's coming down the pike in terms of the warrantless eavesdropping should be another one of those issues that involve principle.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently there are no principles anymore. There are no issues that people are willing to fight for.
You mean we just have positions and talking points?
Exactly. And then you move on to the next series of talking points. It's a vote, and then you wait for the next days.
Okay, and Mel, before we go to the break, did the agency need this? Did the professionals demand it?
I tell you the truth, from the rumors I hear and the people I've talked to, and this is a sad fact, it was the lawyers at the CIA who wanted the protection. They've hired a lot of lawyers, right-wing lawyers at the CIA, which is kind of interesting because if you look at the lawyers for the military, it was the lawyers for the military who fought the good fight and didn't get credit for it in the media by getting the military to go back to the old field manual, which upholds the Geneva Convention. At the same time this was happening, the CIA lawyers were going to the Justice Department and saying, look, we want to continue the principles that or the policies that we're carrying out in these secret facilities, which involve waterboarding, all sorts of hypothermia, all sorts of torture and abuse, but we need protection from the Justice Department. And they got that in terms of memos from John Yoo and Jay Bybee. But now they have a law. Now they have 65 senators who have voted for this bill to allow them to torture and abuse. It is mind-boggling and unconscionable all at the same time.
And they wouldn't give amnesty to people who are in this country without documents, but they gave amnesty to people who presumably broke the law in torturing detainees.
In the worst possible way.
We'll continue in just a moment with Mel Goodman. Lines are open if you'd like to join us. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You can also email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. You're listening to KRXA 540.
in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Listen every Sunday morning at 10 and learn from the experts about investing, 1031 exchanges, exit strategies, and the big question, when the real estate market goes down, is it the time to sell or buy? Rock Rollin' Real Estate, your number one source for all your real estate needs. Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey. Automobile enthusiasts know that the world's finest vehicles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include our Mercedes, BMW, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the very automobiles that we specialize in at More Imported Cars, located at 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, right by Windows on the Bay. Stop by More Imported Cars and check out this week's special.
A 98 BMW 740iL in showroom condition. The Kelley Blue Book wholesale is $14,400. The sale price for this week only is $9,990.
For more information, browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R. Or call us at 373-3131. That's 373-3131.
Let's take a look at your drive home in and around the Monterey Bay area. Odd problems kicking off your Friday afternoon drive in Ben Lomond, fanning at Wald Edgeburg Road. An accident here where a solo vehicle went down a ravine. So CHP is on the way, also emergency vehicles as well. Not blocking the roadway, but you've got to make way for the emergency vehicles. Also in Castroville, Wood Street near Castro, not far from Highway 156, a vehicle struck a pole here. Injuries are involved. The good news is no outages have been reported. We're looking at slow on southbound 101, pretty typically leaving Silicon Valley from Highway 85 to Coyote Creek Golf Drive. Also sluggish now through Gilroy, Prunedale, and Salinas. This first look brought to you by Mattress Discounters. Hurry into Mattress Discounters today and on approved credit. You'll make no down payment, no monthly payment, and pay no interest for 12 months. Mattress Discounters, quality brands, discount prices every day. I'm Alex Daly, and that's traffic on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. It's 21 minutes past the hour. My guest is Mel Goodman. He's co-author of the book Bush League Diplomacy. And he is an outspoken American who served 27 years, is that right, Mel, at the CIA?
24 at the CIA, but 42 with the government, including the National War College, the U.S. Army, and the State Department. So This isn't easy to do, to realize that a 42-year career has led to observing and seeing this kind of situation that I thought would never happen in the United States of America. I really find that this is a series of events that I thought couldn't take place in this country. Maybe I'm being very naive, but I find all of it very shocking.
Well, if you feel naive, I don't know where that leaves me, because I don't have your distinguished service. I'm just a guy with too many opinions who pays attention. And sometimes there's a burden involved with all that.
Well, I remember I was at the CIA during the period of Vietnam, and a lot of the intelligence the CIA was sending down to the White House didn't really want to see. But they made no attempt to really try to influence that intelligence. They made it clear that if they could, they would have shot the messenger every now and then, and they knew that the message was something that they were having trouble dealing with. But they didn't try to fabricate it. They didn't forge it. They didn't make it up. They didn't outright lie about what the intelligence picture really looks like. But again, with the National Intelligence Estimate that has been released, at least the key judgments have been released, we know that the evidence that's available to the CIA is the same evidence that's available to the White House. They're all looking at the same briefs. So Bush has been lying to this country about the situation in Iraq. And when Bob Woodward's book gets on the market, which I guess is sometime next week, that book is going to be a bombshell because it's going to explode all these lies. There is so much anger in the military. The last 18 years of my government career were spent at the National War College, and when I left, and part of that was a protest of the Iraq War, a lot of colonels came over to me and told me privately, never in a classroom or seminar setting, about their contempt for Donald Rumsfeld for going to war in a way that risked the lives of American soldiers, American fighting men, and they'll never forgive him for that.
And the
nothing but contempt for this man.
Well, and the advance on the Woodward book expands on that contempt, and the distance between Rice and Rumsfeld, the Bushes repeatedly had to lean on Rumsfeld to get him to return Rice's phone calls. So there's a lot of problems inside the administration, and yet they can close ranks to deny us the truth and to stay on message enough to propel this president further forward. Mel, I want to ask you about one thing specifically, because we mentioned in passing in the first segment about the broad definition of a UE. Let's see, it's an unlawful enemy combatant, a UEC. I'm going to have to get a sweatshirt made up with UEC on it. Dan Ellsberg published a powerful piece in Harper's Magazine this month calling on somebody inside the government who's got documents related to the presumed forthcoming military action against Iran to go public, even at personal risk, even if they end up being prosecuted, because he regrets that he didn't do so much sooner with the Pentagon Papers. Now, I raise this because under this new law, I believe that President Bush could declare Dan Ellsberg a UEC simply for advocating that somebody break the law and spill the beans about the administration's plans for Iran, and that Dan Ellsberg could be sent to Gitmo, could be locked up there for years without being charged, without communication with attorneys or family members, and ultimately could be disposed of through one of these military tribunals, even though he's an American citizen exercising his free speech rights.
Well, I don't read the law that way. I read that legal residents of the United States, but not citizens of the United States, could be at risk. But I don't think Ellsberg is at risk for calling for leaking of these documents with regard to Iran or any other matter, actually.
Mm-hmm.
My own problem with Ellsberg on this Iran issue is, frankly, I think too much is being said about Iran. I don't think this administration has a plan for Iran right now. I don't think people understand how bad the situation in Iraq is, which means that the military is in a situation where they can't come up with any kind of an effective military campaign against Iran. And people like Ellsberg and Scott Ritter and others who keep, and they've been saying this for the past year and a half, that there's a military Pentagon plan to go into Iran, I think are underestimating how deeply embedded we are in Iraq and how we're really in the briar patch on this one, and we have no way of getting out. And we're really in the middle of a civil war situation that's going to further risk American lives. So I think we ought to concentrate really on Iraq, what a disaster Iraq is.
Well,
with the need for withdrawal from Iraq.
I certainly agree with you about the mess in Iraq. I'm very concerned, though, and I guess I have a slightly different take on Iran, because the signals that we're getting from some pretty well-placed sources are that we're now at kind of a phase two of readiness, and that there may be airstrikes and missile strikes launched even before the election.
I would be shocked, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now I just talked about how shocked I've been over the events of the past few weeks. And it was unbelievable to me that the United States was going to go to war in Iraq when it was so predictable that our experience against Iraq would be no different than the British in the 1920s, who eventually had to leave after 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we're on course. It's probably going to be 7 years when we finally get out in complete defeat
right.
In Iraq. but again, so predictable. And if Bush had only listened to his father, and or if he had read the memoir of his father and General Scowcroft,
yeah.
in two eloquent pages, they talk about why they didn't go to Baghdad in 1991, what the problems were once you crossed that Iraqi border, making bin Laden's day. That's exactly what Osama bin Laden wanted us to do, invade an Arab country and be stuck there for the next generation.
The infidels are on Islamic soil.
Exactly.
Well, Mel, I thank you for your outspokenness, and I appreciate your contributions to the discussion, and I share your deep disgust and disappointment at the events this week. We'll have to soldier on and hope that there is some regime change as a result of the November elections, and that maybe some of this can be fixed in the future. I don't share Arlen Specter's confidence that the Republican courts will overturn this law. I think we're going to have to rely on a shift in power and also a shift in attitude because we have too many Democrats who supported it. Mel, thank you very much. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you for the opportunity, Peter.
Mel Goodman. Thank you. Mel Goodman here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next, Rory O'Connor joins us. We're going to talk about some of the political ads on TV and radio during this campaign season and much more right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
What would FDR do? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The president has clearly lost patience with the critics of his policy in Iraq.
The party of FDR has become the party of cut and run.
So let's dip into the archives and hear what FDR was saying during the darkest days of his war in 1942.
This is war. The American people want to know and will be told the general trend of how the war is going. But they do not wish to help the enemy, and they will pay little attention to the rumor mongers and the poison peddlers in our midst.
Not that different. We're left to wonder, who would FDR have considered a poison peddler today? What about Bob Woodward, whose latest book accuses the president of withholding the truth about Iraq from the American people?
The insurgents know what they're doing. They know the level of violence and how effective they are. Who doesn't know? The American public.
Your government has unmistakable confidence in your ability to hear the worst without flinching or losing heart. You must, in turn, have complete confidence that your government is keeping nothing from you except information that will help the enemy.
One more World War II comparison. On the Saturday after Thanksgiving of this year, the war in Iraq will have lasted longer than the war in the Pacific, from Pearl Harbor to the surrender of Japan. Now this.
Transform the look of your home and get ready for the holiday season with help from your neighborhood Ace Hardware. Choose from thousands of paint colors or let Ace custom match any color you bring in. Either way, you'll always get helpful expert advice. Shop Ace Hardware today and save on Ace Royal, our highest quality paint. Buy up to 10 gallons of Ace Royal flat interior paint for just $13.99 each after our $5 rebate. Ace, the helpful place. At participating stores through October 31st. See store for details.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware for.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi, as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing, facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lactating as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I continue as your humble host, Peter B. It's 33 minutes past the hour, and you're welcome to call the program whenever the urge hits you. My toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Joining us now is Rory O'Connor. He is one of the co-founders of MediaChannel.org with news dissector Danny Schechter. He is one of the producers of the new documentary that we've been talking about and giving away copies of the DVD here on the show, 9/11 Press for Truth. And he blogs at RoryO'Connor.org. Hey, Rory, how are you doing today?
Very well, Peter. Always a pleasure.
Well, nice to talk to you again. And can we start with just a little venting?
As always.
This week we've spent a lot of time following the machinations in Washington over a disgraceful piece of legislation that cleared the Senate with 65 votes last night. And what has stunned me is the media coverage once again, because the particularly broadcast media gave us very little information about what a departure this legislation is from American tradition and from world standards. And just two examples. Last night, I watched Chris Matthews' Hardball show, hoping to get the latest on the Senate debate and vote. And virtually the entire program was devoted to George Allen's problems with Makaka and allegations that he used the N-word 30 years ago. And then I picked up my first newspaper of the day, the San Francisco Chronicle. And their front page was devoted to the Hewlett-Packard spy scandal and speculation about whether Barry Bonds will sign with the Giants for another season. And I had to go to page 3 for an AP story on the Senate vote. And this is such a critical issue and, as I mentioned, such a landmark departure from American tradition. I'm just stunned that most media have given it short shrift.
Well, first of all, I'm not stunned, given what we've seen over the last decade or so in terms of what's been going on with the media. And second of all, I do want to point out that there have been some good print pieces. Molly Ivins wrote a wonderful piece, Habeas Corpus, R.I.P. E.J. Dion had a nice column in the Washington Post. I think that print comes out smelling a little better than broadcast on this one, Peter.
Well, and I give the New York Times editorial page some credit for its very strong commentary on these issues. And I think in some ways they helped prod Arlen Specter into his moment of courage, which unfortunately evaporated as the week went on.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little surprised, and, you know, Arlen Specter's attempt to keep habeas corpus in that bill failed by a very narrow margin. But then, of course, a lot of the people who voted on his behalf later voted in favor of the entire bill. So, you know, look, one of the great things about this country is we still have the power to say no every 2 years and to throw the bums out, whoever they may be. So there is an election coming up in about 6 weeks. And, you know, if people are as upset as you and I are about this, they have an opportunity to get there and express themselves in the ballot box, and I hope that they do.
Well, and one of the things that's just starting up now is the air war on television primarily, but a little bit on radio. And it has drifted over into the Internet, the blogosphere, and a lot of directed activities. It appears that MySpace.com and YouTube are going to be critical players in this year's midterm elections.
I think there's no doubt about that. I think they're going to be crucial players in every election coming up for the rest of this century, quite frankly. You know, the ground has shifted underneath the media, And, you know, nobody knows exactly what new technology is going to come along, but as they do come along, I think one thing that's clear that they are, these new technologies are empowering the citizens and enabling them to go beyond, over, through, and under the gatekeepers.
Well, and I mentioned Chris Matthews' obsession with the George Allen case, but he, of course, is in deep trouble now because of the remarks he made to a camera that was operated by a member of the campaign team of the opponent. And it was really stupid of him in the way he handled it, and he appears as surprised as many that this has become such a big issue. But it's just one example. Here's another. Also in that race, Jim Webb is the Democratic opponent of George Allen. And I don't know if it's his campaign or an independent expenditure on his behalf, but they're running spots against George Allen because he voted against a specific bill related to the protection of our soldiers in Iraq, and in particular vests and other safety.
That's an independent spot.
It is. Okay, yes. Thanks. And John Kyle, who is in a apparently a tough race in Arizona, Senator, tried to inoculate himself from that by going screaming to the editorial boards in Arizona, saying they're going to run that commercial against me. And I find that kind of interesting because I've never seen somebody kind of preemptively try to protect himself from an upcoming negative ad.
Well, you know, I had the opportunity this week to spend a little bit of time with two of the top pros in terms of media strategy and producing advertising, one on the Republican side of the aisle, Mark McKinnon,
mm-hmm.
who really is a genius at this stuff and is the man I think is the most responsible for electing George Bush president, not only in 2004 but in 2000, and, of course, his Democratic counterpart, David Axelrod. They were here in New York at a panel that was sponsored by USA Today, and the subject was the evolution of presidential campaign advertising. And not surprisingly, both of these men had pretty much the same thing to say, which is that they are losing control. The control is passing to the people. The control is passing to the third part of the entities, the so-called 527s. You know, in many cases, even in the past election, independent third parties spent more on television advertising than either one of the parties did. Despite the fact that $170 million was spent in total by the GOP in 2004 trying to successfully elect George Bush, the man who was in charge of creating the ads and placing the buys, Mark McKinnon, came out this week and said, it's all out of our control. There's more noise, there's more clutter, there's YouTube, there's MySpace, there's third parties, and quite frankly, all that we can do is try to amplify what these independent sources are going to do. And both McKinnon and Axelrod said that they think that the primary determinant in the 2008 presidential campaign will be user-generated videos such as the macaca video that you just referred to.
Well, I understand that, and I see the trend moving in that direction, but aren't there smarter politicians than George Allen who will not feed YouTube the kind of damaging footage like that?
Well, you know, I think it's an impossible situation. You know, as McKinnon said, who is in control now? It's anyone with a camera. And in point of fact, everyone has a camera. So if you're a candidate now, you are in a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week news cycle with video cameras in the hands of virtually everyone in the audience. That you're never off. You can, and how many of us never make a mistake? Never say something that we shouldn't have said. It's going to take a truly superb and absolutely controlled, almost a Manchurian candidate, to avoid any slip-ups.
Well, I agree. And, you know, that's why I think we're going to see people more buttoned down, more controlled, controlling the situation. You know, any media will be three blocks away in a fenced-in free speech zone. I just imagine that the attempt to manage this trend will be less communication with the public, less access to the candidates.
Well, I think there may be less communication with the public by the campaigns, but there's going to be more communication to the campaigns by the public.
Mm-hmm.
For example, there's nothing stopping people from making their own advertisements and posting them on MySpace and YouTube. Now, whether or not you have video of George Allen, you know, actually saying the word macaca doesn't necessarily matter. You might be able to, you know, simply to make a 30-second spot that paints him as a racist without necessarily even having him in the spot. And that could be just as damaging as well. So
mm-hmm.
I think we're in a very exciting time, quite frankly. I don't think that there's anyone out there that can tell you exactly all the ramifications of these new technologies, of the fevered blogosphere of MySpace and YouTube and the advent of compressed video, which, among other things, don't forget, when there was only video on broadcast, there were limitations not only on the delivery of that video, but on the content. But when you're in the wild and woolly world of the Internet, those limitations disappear as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to be a very deregulated free fire zone out there.
Are you seeing inventive uses of web-based activities in this fall's campaign? I mean, in addition to the gotcha of the macaca video, are there other ways that people are cleverly using the Internet, email, and interactive sites?
Well, I think there's lots of examples. I mean, first of all, this macaca situation with George Allen, you know, everybody points to the video. Now, I've seen the video, and, you know, it was very grainy. It really, the video alone really didn't make the case. What made that an issue and actually threatens to unseat George Allen in a race that he was previously very comfortably ahead was not so much the actual video of the macaca, but it was the political left-wing blogosphere which seized upon this and circulated it widely and wrote about it and literally forced the issue into the campaign and into the mainstream media. So it's a combination of these various factors. It's not just the video, it's not just the blogs, it's not just the email, it's not just the independent 527 groups spending money and making their own ads. It's all of these things all combined together, which are putting pressure on the very seasoned professionals who used to be able to control the message.
We're talking with Rory O'Connor here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to take a break, and if you'd like to talk with him, lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And, Rory, one thing occurs to me. You know, George Allen is getting beat up over this word macaca, which he claims he didn't know the meaning of, and he made it up as he was trying to insult this young man from the opposition campaign that was videotaping his appearance. And what amuses me is that he's getting, really ripped for using that word, yet it is sufficiently inoffensive that you and I can use it. It's not on the George Carlin list at the FCC. It's not banned from ordinary conversation. And I find it ironic, you know, that we can use it in kind of mainstream conversation, and at the same time, his use of the word once is something that may cost him his political career. So I would like to convene here the Peter B. Collins Apologia Chorus, if anyone is offended by our use of the M word.
Excuse me.
And we'll return with Rory O'Connor in just a moment. I see on the shelf here that we have one more copy of the DVD edition of 9/11 Press for Truth, which Rory O'Connor co-produced. And if you'd like to earn a copy, call us with a comment in the next 15 minutes here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines available, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And I'm still your humble host, Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Pam
and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Take a look at your drive in and around the Monterey Bay area. Not looking at too many stalls or crashes, but it is Friday, so some slowing does continue southbound along 101, leaving Silicon Valley from Highway 85 to a Coyote Creek Golf Drive. That's pretty typical. However, now we're seeing it sluggish through Gilroy, Prunedale, and Salinas. Also under the limit in quite a few spots for your drive along eastbound 25 for the drive between Gilroy and Hollister. Also looking at slow traffic now southbound 17 from the Summit area into Santa Cruz along Highway 1 and northbound. Down one, bunching up in pockets now between Carmel and Monterey. This look brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai, are you ready for exceptional safety, space, and savings? Then you're ready for the Hyundai Challenge. Come in and test drive today at your Hyundai dealer. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 10 minutes away from the hour. His Bradness, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, joins us next hour here on the PBC Show. Lines available if you'd like to talk with me and Rory O'Connor. He's a media critic, a media guy. He blogs at roryoconnor.org. He's co-founder of Media Channel. I get those mixed up. Media Channel and Media Global Vision and MediaChannel.org, right?
Yeah, they're both .org.
You got a lot of websites. Hard to keep them all straight. And he is the co-producer of the new documentary that we've talked about on the program called 9/11 Press for Truth. Rory, tell me what kind of reaction you've gotten to the doc since you released it earlier in September.
Well, you know, we've gotten a tremendous reaction. We've literally had hundreds of thousands of downloads because until recently we had the entire film streaming on the Media Channel site as well as on Google. And what I'm most pleased about, Peter, is the reaction from most of the people who came to us and said, I want to thank you because of all the media that we saw about 9/11, this is the one that just came down the middle, asked the questions, presented the information, and didn't draw any conclusions, left that for us. And I was pleased to hear that because that was really our intent in making the film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting because our leadoff guest on the program today was Gore Vidal. And I know from talking with your co-producer, Kyle Hentz, that there had been an interview with Gore that was contemplated for the film. And it was interesting because a caller asked him about 9/11. And he said, well, you know, if you're asking me if the Bush administration had a role in this, he said, just look at Katrina. He said, I can never believe that they had the competence to pull off some of the scenarios advanced by some of the theorists. But to the central question, he acknowledged that, you know, we don't know the real facts about 9/11. We deserve to know the truth. And he cited his father, who as a United States senator and I think an army official, had written the legislation that required, if there were a hijacking or other incident in the air, that jets would be scrambled. And so he said on that basis alone that he has lingering questions. And
well, you know, on that basis alone, I can refer your listeners to the new book that's authored by the co-chairman of the 9/11 Commission Without Precedent by Tom Kane and Lee Hamilton, in which they reveal that they came extremely close to going to the Department of Justice and asking them to open a criminal investigation into why the Pentagon was refusing to give them information about that very topic.
Yeah. Mike joins us from Eureka this afternoon. Hello, Mike. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Rory O'Connor.
Yeah. Hi, Peter. Hi, Rory. Yeah, I was calling about Senator Mukaka. And, I watched all the press conferences and stuff, and I saw his, you know, feigned indignation and his claim that it wasn't relevant. And I've got to say that, you know, his ancestry isn't relevant to me. I couldn't possibly care less. You know, where his grandparents were from, you know, we all have relatives that came from another country. That's not a big deal to me, but it is a big deal to his Turner Diary, you know, skinhead base. and it amazes me that nobody's willing to discuss that in the media.
Are you referring to the Lynchburg vote?
No, I was referring to his repeated denials as to his...
I understand. I was citing Lynchburg because that's where Jerry Falwell and Liberty University and a lot of the right-wingers are.
Oh, right, right. No, my apologies. Well, yeah, all these people, I hate to see that that's what American politics has come to, but it's time to take the gloves off and hit him hard on that. I hope he does lose votes because reasonable-minded people see... you know, his behavior, and I hope that he also loses votes amongst the Turner Diary nut jobs that, you know, appear to me to be his base. I hate to broad brush the good people of Virginia. I'm sure,
but it's kind
of
satisfying.
Fine, upstanding people, but
it's kind of satisfying at the same time, isn't it?
Well, you know, it is already happening to some extent. I just was reading that the Sons of the Confederacy have now come out and attacked Senator Allen because he's moving away from his previous support for the flag of the Confederacy. So he's getting hit from all sides at this point. And, you know, frankly, right, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Well, and it's nice to kind of remove him from contention for president in 2008.
Well, then that was my other point, Peter, was, you know, I mean, as important as this election is here, I think it has pretty much knocked him out for 08. And that pleases me more than I could say.
Mike, I appreciate your call. Would you like a DVD?
I would love a DVD, Peter.
Well, you hold on here. Matt will get your address. And, by the way, your call today was subject to monitoring by the National Security
Agency. Well, you know it was, Peter. I imagine that they don't have time to have a satellite devoted just to me, but,
They have.
I know that they're there.
Okay. I believe they have a special guy for me, and we call him Benny. And, Benny, every now and then we like to just say hi to you and play this annoying noise so that you rip your headphones off and say, why can't I listen to Rush?
You know, Peter, by the way, speaking of monitoring and while we're on the topic of all this new technology and so on, I hope that you've noted that Congressman Mark Foley of Florida resigned from the House of Representatives today.
Yes, he mastered...
Actually explicit instant messages.
Yeah, you know,
between him and a 16-year-old teenage boy suddenly surfaced in the blog.
Yes, it's a congressional page scandal, mail-to-mail, and this time it doesn't involve Barney Frank or Barney Fagg.
And, you know, and this guy has left because he was afraid that more of these were going to surface, and I'm sure that they will nonetheless.
And did you note that he was chairman of the House Caucus on Missing and Exploited Children?
Yes, I did. And to that, I can only quote the young man who he sent the emails to, sick, sick, sick.
Indeed. Rory, one other thing that surfaced this week is somebody in the blogosphere was traveling and picked up a copy of Newsweek International, which featured a cover story about Afghanistan with very dire commentary. And then apparently they arrived in the United States and picked up a domestic edition of Newsweek. And the cover story was a gushy kind of People or Us magazine style story about celebrity photographer Annie Leibovitz.
Well, again, unfortunate, but no surprise. I mean, this is nothing new. This has been going on in this country for, much of the past decade. Witness the current rash of crazed coverage of this fellow who claimed that he had claimed, and of course turned out not to be true, that he had murdered JonBenet Ramsey. And all of a sudden, all the news disappeared from the cable channels and from the newspapers, and it was all JonBenet all the time, all over again.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a real sickness abroad in this country when it comes to the media, and I think that it is one of the biggest stories. No matter what story we're talking about, the media is also the story.
And, Rory, it was your colleague Danny Schechter who pointed out to me that in 2003, as we were invading Iraq, that CNN had explicitly different feeds for its international service that didn't include the flag lapel pins and the we versus them rhetoric.
Well, you know, anybody who travels a lot will tell you that CNN International is actually a pretty good news source. And, it is available in this country. I watch that here in New York, and I don't watch CNN U.S. for the very reason that you're saying. I mean, they differentiate because they feel as if the American people are not interested in these serious topics.
Rory,
I don't agree with them.
You're right. I thank you for...
We at KRXA want to thank you for your support of our advertisers. Together, we're working as a community to help take America back. Keep thinking outside the box and call us with any ideas and comments anytime. Tell your friends about KRXA, and together, we'll help change the direction of this great nation. Working as a team, we're making a difference, and it's needed now more than ever. I'm Sheila Gale. Thank you for listening to Progressive Talk, AM 540, KRXA.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammy McCormick. A curfew in Baghdad, cars and vehicles banned. Residents are being told to stay in their homes.
It's extremely unusual. They must have secured intelligence that a broad-scale attack was imminent, both from vehicles and from people, potentially suicide bombers.
CBS News military analyst, retired Army Major Mike Lyons, the Iraqi government gave no reason for its decision, only issuing a one-line statement that says the curfew will remain in place until Sunday morning. Congress has just approved more money for securing Iraq. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss is on Capitol Hill.
Congress has approved another $70 billion for Iraq and Afghanistan, the vast bulk for the war in Iraq, which is now burning up $2 billion a week. That means this money won't last even a year, and that's assuming costs don't keep rising. The bill also contains a bar on the administration building any permanent military bases in Iraq. The Pentagon says it has no such plans, but didn't want Congress to rule it out. The overall bill for the Pentagon, at a record $447 billion, is less than the president wanted, but he will sign the bill, with the understanding he'll be coming back in a few months for more money for the Iraq war. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Republican Congressman Tom Foley resigned today, apologizing to his family and constituents, but not giving his reason. His decision, though, comes after questions arose over some personal emails he wrote to a former page, a teenaged boy. The 52-year-old Foley asked the boy to send pictures. The boy told a friend the exchanges were sick. Foley had been expected to win re-election in Florida. CBS News political consultant Gloria Borger on what Republicans will do now.
They would need to field a candidate, presumably as a write-in,
We're not sure legally how that would work. The Republicans believe that even though the election is close, they will still be allowed to do that.
Democrats need a net gain of 15 seats for control of the House. This just in, Brazilian authorities say a passenger plane with more than 150 people on board has gone missing from radar. There are no other details. Former JonBenet Ramsey murder suspect John Mark Carr will go on trial on child pornography charges. Correspondent Steve Futterman's been covering a court hearing in Santa Rosa, California.
The trial will go ahead, but the judge hinted that the prosecution's case has serious problems. Defense attorneys argue that they cannot properly present their case without the original evidence, including the computer where the alleged child pornography was found. The prosecution said the computer was not intentionally lost, that there was no bad faith. The trial could start as soon as next week. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Santa Rosa, California.
A Wisconsin teenager arrived at his rural school today armed with two guns.
Principal John Clay approached the student, who proceeded to display a handgun and shot three times, hitting the principal all three times.
The principal later died. The student's been charged with murder. On Wall Street today, the Dow finished off 39 points, the NASDAQ lower by 12. This is CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar emergency.
The woman just struck me. So I have day care charge in my car.
Okay, I have you located on Ashley.
Yes, ma'am.
And there are injuries.
Sure.
If your airbags deploy, OnStar receives a signal and can call to check on you.
Sheriff's Office.
Hi, this is Holly calling from OnStar. I have a vehicle crash with airbag deployment with injuries on Ashley.
I have multiple children in my car. My own daughter is hurt. I think my arm is broken.
We'll get police and rescue on the way.
Okay. I need you to stay calm.
The peace of mind OnStar offers is more affordable than you might think.
I can hear sirens in the background.
I have a police car in front of me. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles, and unlimited use of all safety and security services costs only $16.95 plus tax per month after that. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
Some U.S. troops are wearing new sunglasses that can apparently be run over by a 5-ton truck and take gunfire without shattering. KXL reporter Doug Carter has the story.
While serving during the first Iraqi war, veteran Wayne Benson says he tried 4 or 5 different pairs of goggles and sunglasses.
But I could never find ones that were cushioned inside, wrap around, and fit snug. And this real fine dust particle still gets into your eyes.
With that in mind, he sent a box of strong, snug-fitting eyewear to the troops, and they loved them. So Benson has been sending them ever since.
That is really an essential item for our troops over there.
He says the goggles the troops get from the government just don't perform as well. Doug Carter for CBS News, Portland, Oregon.
The best advertising slogan. Advertising Week says based on 400,000 votes, the anti-litter slogan Don't Mess with Texas is the winner. It beat out phrases like Got Milk and Just Do It. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss?
Exactly.
Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new.
Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer. Like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
As we launch the third and final hour of the Peter B. Collins Show today, I want to welcome you. I'm your humble host, Peter B. As always, you're welcome to join us on the program. That's why we provide a phone number and pay for the call. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, and it spells 888-5-PETER-B. Oh, we're so clever. And by the way, just a little programming note. We often feature at this time on Fridays an update from the California Capitol in Sacramento with the chair of the Assembly Budget Committee, John Laird. And he will return to our program after the November elections. And that means we got more time for his Bradness. Brad Friedman is the proprietor of bradblog.com, and he is the man who is our go-to guy on election integrity issues. And while the problems are daunting, Brad does not sit back and just cry over his keyboard. He's a man of action. We're going to update you a little bit later on Barbara Boxer's embrace of his legislative idea to require or at least incentivize paper ballots in every precinct in the nation for this upcoming midterm election. And there are a lot of other issues in the news. I want to talk about RFK Jr., who plugged Brad Blog and did a great job on TV the other night talking about these election issues. But Brad, up front and center and right here on the homepage of your blog is the breaking news about a seat that has been hastily vacated by Representative Mark Foley, a Republican of Florida.
Yes, a Republican congressman, part of the GOP leadership. Another one bites the dust. He announced today that he was resigning, not running for re-election because, well, I was going to say he got caught with his pants down, but I guess he really did. sexually explicit emails and now, in just the past hour or so, internet instant messaging messages between him and apparently some young high school boys, congressional pages, and others.
Mm-hmm. One of whom was 16 years old.
Yeah.
And this is an opportunity for me to give a little explanation of a quip that I made about 20 minutes ago on the program as we were discussing Mr. Foley's plight and his resignation. I said to Rory O'Connor that this was a case that involved two males, one a Republican member of Congress, and I said it didn't have anything to do with Barney Frank or Barney Fagg. And the Barney Fagg reference was a quip, or at least it was an attempt at humor, based on a Republican congressman who claimed he had a slip of the tongue and referred to Mr. Frank of Massachusetts on the House floor as Barney Fagg.
Yeah, and that Republican congressman, by the way, was Dick Armey, who I believe, as Al Franken may have pointed out at the time, is not one who should be making fun of other people's names. So.
Yeah, and as you note in the blog, Mr. Foley was chairman of the House Caucus on Missing and Exploited Children. He crusaded for tough laws against those who use the Internet for sexual exploitation of children. They're sick people, he was quoted as saying. They need mental health counseling. And Brad quips, guess he was just doing research.
Well, that's I guess that's right. And, you know, credit here where it's due, actually. The folks, two different folks, well, let's call it three. The folks at Raw Story who had that email initially, and I believe both America Blog and Page1Q.com did some good work on this over the last 24 hours exposing this stuff. And finally, ABC News turned up the transcripts from these internet messaging back and forths, rather sexually explicit. So if you want some, want your hot internet porn, you can go to ABC News and get it right now.
Well, and this is one of my complaints, is that ABC and the other networks will give us much more coverage of Mark Foley than anybody wants, needs, or can handle. And yet this critical legislation that will damage the United States for years to come, that got 65 votes in the Senate last night and will become law on the president's signature. I call it the Joe Stalin Torture and Detention Act of 2006. And it's amazing to me that our media just kind of passes that off as, you know, another political story in the fall campaign that isn't very interesting to the average viewer.
Yeah, you know, it's, as you know, I think about this a lot, and I write about it a lot when I'm, you know, between breaking news. I do have opinions on these things, which is, you know, I was just reading a story right before you guys called over on the CBS Evening News webpage. And their story talks about the election stuff that you know I cover all the time, and you know, says that there are growing concerns about these electronic voting machines, and that it has been reported that there have been problems in the primaries all year long. And I thought to myself, reported by who? And why do you, CBS News, and others like New York Times and so on and so forth, you know, come on in when we're at the point where you can't do anything about it and start reporting this stuff? So, you know, so now they're reporting on the problems with the election system. You know, now they're reporting on, well, maybe there were no WMD in Iraq. Maybe that was a boondoggle and a hoax. You know, I remember years ago I was doing some sort of freelance writing for a very small newspaper in the Midwest for extra money. And the editor at the time said to me, you know, Brad, journalism is not telling people what happened. It's telling people what is going to happen. And I think that's good advice that would be useful for the folks at the New York Times and CBS News, you know, when they come in after it's way too late to start reporting on this stuff. I mean, it's really useless if all they're going to do is sit there and tell us what happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And let's move now to the 11th inning approach here that you really are the author of. And that is what you dubbed LAVA, the Let America Vote Act, and Barbara Boxer introduced in the Senate this week. And she modified your terms a little bit, but her desire was to get something that could pass both houses and actually have some impact by November. And so she reshaped it as a funding mechanism that the federal government will reimburse the states for the cost of making sure that paper ballots are available and optional for every voter in every precinct in this November's midterm election.
Yeah, and actually the way she filed it was almost exactly what I had called for last week. The only change really she made was instead of making it mandatory, the legislation has it as an option. Two states, if they wish to do this, they will then be reimbursed by the federal government. And her feeling was that it was more likely to get it through Congress that way if it was optional rather than a federal mandate on the states.
And to her credit and yours, she adopted your language, and some people are going to think this is a definition of what is, but you define it as contingency paper ballots instead of provisional paper ballots. Explain the difference.
Okay, well, actually, I called it emergency paper ballots.
Okay.
She calls it contingency paper ballots, which is fine in the legislation itself. She's referred to it as emergency paper ballots. So there's really no difference there. The one slight difference was I tried to spell out when I explained this last week that these are not to be provisional ballots because provisional ballots are not actually counted most often on election day. Sometimes they're not counted at all. They have to go through a vetting procedure. What we're talking about is when someone shows up to the polling place, they are registered just fine, but they're told they can't vote because the voting machines essentially don't work, and they're sent away. In a best-case scenario right now, they're given a provisional ballot, as they did up in Maryland for their recent meltdown in their primary on September 12th. But as I say, those ballots aren't counted right away, if ever. So I tried to make it clear in my version that these were to be counted as normal ballots, not as provisional ballots. I'm not sure why Boxer had left that out of her version, but that was corrected on the House side, where it was also proposed the following day by Rush Holt in an identical bill, except for one modification of that sentence that clarifies that these contingency paper ballots are to not to be counted as provisionals, but rather to be counted on election night with the normal ballots.
And
I hope that clears that up.
It does. We got to take a break. We'll continue with Brad Friedman in just a moment, and he'll tell us about the special communique that he got from Senator Boxer, and you can read about it at bradblog.com. More coming up in just a moment, and you can join this conversation right now, toll-free. 888-5-PETER-B is our number. That's 888-573-8372 here at the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Drive in and around the Monterey Bay, hoping for your Friday afternoon. In Salinas, it is a new crash now southbound along 101 at Ralph Lane. Apparently an SUV collided with the guardrail here, so it's a solo vehicle accident. Minor injuries involved. One lane is blocked. CHP not yet on the scene, so be mindful of that. Taking a look at slow traffic, both sides of 156 getting just a bit busier now between Castroville and San Juan Bautista. And on the subject of 156, I want to remind you, Sunday, October 1st, is a Surf City Century bike ride, and that'll take place beginning and ending at Cabrillo College, and it will affect Highway 156, as well as Highway 129 and 183. This look brought to you by Mattress Discounters. Hurry into Mattress Discounters today, and on approved credit, you'll make no down payment, no monthly payment, and pay no interest for 12 months. Mattress Discounters, quality brands at discount prices every single day. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
A lot easier. Just so long as I'm addicted. It'll take time to restore chaos. Shame on you. You fool me, you can't get fooled again. We can win this war on terror if we're steadfast and strong. It's not going to happen with my watch. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. When we talk about war, we're really talking about peace.
Oh, why can't everyone tell? Statesmen from above, who's got a telephone bug? A frat boy who took drugs, who lays down with thieves, the one who deceived.
That's the vast left-wing conspiracy. With apologies to Pink Floyd, it's called Wish You Were Gore. We continue now with Brad from bradblog.com. And, Brad, you got an interesting missive from Senator Boxer today regarding her Confidence in Voting Act.
Yes, we did. She was very kind, thanking myself, but more importantly, the Brad Blog readers out there who have been making noise about the emergency paper ballot legislation, encouraging her to bring it forward. And if I can just return the favor by pointing out that once again, Barbara Boxer is a hero, a hero. I'll remind you, back on January 6, 2005, she was the only senator in the entire U.S. Senate who stood up, stood for us, and challenged that terrible election in Ohio, which I think time has only proven to be even more terrible and gamed than we even suspected at the time.
Yeah.
She stood up back then for electoral integrity, and she was the one to come forward and do it now. And she did bring a few other pretty good heavyweight senators along with her. But she asked for folks, citizens, and I think that the Senate is staying in session one more day tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure about that, but she did ask all Brad Blog readers and election integrity folks to click on a link that we have over at bradblog.com. That will allow a message to be sent to your congressperson in the House and the Senate encouraging them to pass emergency paper ballots. And frankly, whether it's passed or not, I think that the history may look back kindly even as early as November 8th on those folks who did come forward, recognize this problem, and at least try to do something about it before it was too late.
And the link that Brad just described is available to you at bradblog.com. Just look for the picture of Senator Boxer there, and the link is in the copy adjacent to it. And I encourage everybody to speak up and express yourself and let politicians know that we consider this vital to free and fair elections in this country. And, Brad, what is the status? Is there any prospect that it could pass both houses? I can't imagine the president would sign it, but... gosh, I'd love to be wrong about that.
Well, if it did pass both houses, I can't imagine George Bush not signing it. Now, the trick, however, is to get Republicans on board, and I will note, as of this date, not a single Republican has come on board to support the legislation in either the House or the Senate. Now, this is going on, you know, at the same time that in Maryland, where a lot of these folks actually live, the Republican governor is calling for exactly this sort of a thing for his own state after they had their meltdown. He's calling for paper ballots to be used this November and is actually going so far as to make robocalls at this point to constituents, urging them to vote absentee because of all the problems on Election Day. So, you know, you've got Republicans like Bob Ehrlich who are coming forward and doing the right thing. Dick Thornburg is actually quoted in the legislation because he had called some time ago for exactly this, backup contingency plans, since all these states and counties are using this equipment, many of them for the first time. So there are honest, intellectually honest Republicans out there, but just apparently not in the U.S. House or Senate right now.
Yeah.
Go figure.
It is troubling, and I guess their sense is that they don't want to straighten up the rules of the game because they expect that the current rules will benefit them.
Well, I'll let you, excuse me, I will let you speculate on the reasons why. But yeah, I mean, I think that that's been suggested by a lot of folks recently, that, hey, the system was good enough to get me elected. It must be just fine. Of course, what a lot of these people may not realize or just refuse to see is that the system has changed since they were elected. And if they should be in a close election or have any kind of a problem, they're going to be in for a very rude awakening. And, you know, as I say, I suspect everyone's going to come around. The question is, will it be too late?
Mm-hmm.
I was reading during the break. Now, there's so much, finally, you know, it used to be if there was any article anywhere on this stuff, I'd be able to highlight it at Brad Blog. Now there is so much going on, I can't even keep up with it myself. But it looks like USA Today has a terrific article by Andrew Cantor on all of this. And I will just share these one paragraph because it was rather amusing. He writes, "What more do people need to hear or to see or to read to convince them Diebold voting machines simply can't be trusted? A burning bush?" Make of that what you will. But I think it's a great article, and he points out that, look, you know, we've got a mountain of evidence, and people are sent to prison for years based on far less evidence than we have been able to compile, you know, between the Princeton Report and Johns Hopkins and GAO and NYU Brennan Center and on and on and on. Yet you still got these people who are living in denial and these election directors who are simply locking down right now and fighting for their life and their careers. And I guess I understand that. I guess it's okay to put themselves before the country. You'll just pardon me if I'm not particularly impressed by it.
We're talking with Brad Friedman, proprietor of bradblog.com. We're going to take a break and return. If you have a comment, a question, you can call us. Toll free, 888-573-8372. That spells 888-5-PETER-B. You can also visit my website, peterbcollins.com, and that's where you can drop an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. Or, if you like, you can call me, you can email me at humblehost@peterbcollins.com. It all goes to the same place. We'll resume after the break here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from Reality Radio with Jack Page.
Hey, wow, Sheila, I'm so excited about our show.
Our show?
Reality Radio.
Oh, my show.
Hey, we'll be talking about things that really matter in life, day-to-day struggles, our children, money.
Aging, our fears, anger, and all with a touch of humor.
We'll take your calls and have the Central Coast's most colorful guests.
Every Saturday afternoon, 4 to 5.
Reality Radio with the amazing Sheila Gale.
And the hilarious Jack Page on AM 540 KRXA.
Love it.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunetaRealEstate.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are in many ways so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Down in Monterey.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and native healer Cloud Pyler for an hour of Native Health Radio and discover how sacred medicine can save modern life. Honest, direct, funny, informative, it's programming that makes you think. Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Peter B. Collins, I'm glad I'm Irish, and I'm kind of glad I'm not a Kennedy.
Basically, a matter of human rights, the right to live out our lives without fear of devastation, the right to breathe air as nature provided it, the right of future generations.
And watching TV this week, I renewed my respect for Robert F. Kennedy, Jr. And if you watch or listen to him, you may notice that his vocal cords are damaged. And what I understand is that when his father was assassinated, that he was so distraught that he damaged his vocal cords, and it is something that he carries through life. And despite that impediment, he is a forceful advocate for integrity in elections. And Brad, I was struck because you sent out an email that he was on Hardball, and I went home and turned on my TiVo box. And my TiVo, for whatever reason, captures the two different feeds of Hardball each day.
Right.
And so I flipped on the first one, which was the later feed, and I listened to the setup of the show, and there was no mention of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. appearing. So I said, oh, well, maybe he got bumped by John Boehner, because that's the lead interview here on this package of the show. So I put that on hold. I went back to the earlier feed of Hardball, and by golly, it was the same. John Boehner was there at the top of the show. Well, it seemed odd to me because typically Matthews will give you the rundown of all the guests who are going to be on during the hour. And he did not mention that Robert F. Kennedy was going to be on the show until the segment actually appeared. Did you notice that?
Well, isn't that interesting? No, I actually did. I sort of kind of noticed it, but I didn't connect those dots and even think too much about it until you now pointed out. But you're right. He had Boehner on at the top of the show. And
he had Catherine Harris on later in the show.
Right. And Bobby just sort of appeared out of nowhere and said, here's Bobby Kennedy to talk about blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You're right.
And I don't know if it was because it was Bobby Kennedy, if it was because the issue is elections and voter integrity, or exactly what. But the treatment of that interview was noticeably different from every other element of the show.
Well, you know what? That's very interesting that you point that out. And, of course, it's the first time, to my knowledge, that I think Hardball has even covered the topic at all over the past 2 years, period. So, you know, I was busy noticing the fact that suddenly Chris Matthews gave a damn, at least for whatever it was, the four-minute interview with Bobby that is, by the way, linked now at Brad Blog if folks want to check it out. And he had nice things to say about us.
Yes, he did. I was pleased to hear that.
As was I. I was glad to see him covering it all, so I didn't even notice that perhaps he got a shorter shrift than most folks got. But, are any of us surprised at this point? And, of course, it would all matter if this was an issue that had any actual effect on our country.
Well, they permit so few progressive voices on these programs to begin with,
right,
that, you know, you see somebody like Bobby get on there and talk about an issue that we consider to be so important. And there was Catherine Harris, who was the the facilitator of the stolen election in Florida in 2000. And she came on, and hey, Bobby Kennedy's right there. Why not have them on together and let him ask a few questions about how she handled the 2000 election?
Well, that would have been, yes, that would have been actual journalism, though.
And Matthews did a relatively softball sequence with Harris, and then at the end told her he liked her. Did you see that?
I did not see it. I wanted to go back and read the transcript because I think he said something about he was going to ask her about all of this. I don't know if he actually ever did or not.
No. No, he didn't ask her anything about 2000. It was all about this year's political campaign. And you know, she's on her way to a huge defeat. And he allowed her to spin it as, oh, I'm catching up, Chris. It's all going to be fine.
You know, it's the most bizarre thing. I mean, we are just so far down the rabbit hole right now into bizarre world, certainly on this particular item, the election stuff and the problems with our democracy right now. But, I mean, you know, with just everything, and I know that you cover it every day, just this bizarre world that we are living, you know, where black is white and white is black and up is down. It just, you know, I don't know what to make of it anymore, and I wonder how and if we are ever going to get out of this mess. I really do, because it is so twisted.
Well, and the media is one of the key responsible parties here, because Bush couldn't get away with as many things as he has. The problems in Ohio, the problems in Florida would have been given, you know, would have more traction with the American people if they hadn't been dismissed in so many cases by our mainstream media.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, a lot of people like to yell at the political parties. I'm certainly one of them. I'm happy to yell at the Democratic Party, you know, for not doing what needs to be done. But, you know, those guys are going to look out for their best interests. The mainstream national media, it is their job to look out for the American people. And what, as you know, it's all now owned by five or six companies. And so they are no longer looking out for the American people. They are looking out for the bottom line. I speak every day with folks at the, you know, the top, really top echelon of these broadcast networks, media, newspapers, and so forth. And I can tell you, there's some good folks in there trying to fight to go back to the old days when they actually reported the news. But they are stopped. They are fought with at every level. I mean, there are some things that, you know, that I'm told by, let's just say, you know, broadcast, network broadcast news folks, you know, who say, here's what I got, here's the interview that I have on tape, on videotape, here's this official I have saying this or that, and yet we can't run it because it needs to go through legal and they won't let us and this and that. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You mean you've got someone who's actually a government official who is saying these things and you cannot run that because you have to, you know, go through legal, you have to check it out, they won't allow. I mean, it makes no sense. To me, if you've got someone like that making a claim, it is news in and of itself. Let's say a former Bush administration official says something controversial against the administration. That in and of itself is news. You know, even whether it turns out to be true or not, and sort of some of the things I'm talking about, there's no real question about whether it's true or not, but, you know, these broadcast news services and mainstream media papers, they're looking at the bottom line. They're afraid they're going to be sued. They're going to get in trouble. They're going to be, you know, rather gated. So they don't bother telling the what's actually going on.
Yeah.
You know, they bother telling what they think it's okay to talk about. And it is maddening. I mean, you had Bobby Kennedy on Hardball. I suspect had I written that article for Rolling Stone, and to a certain respect I did, because there was so much of it that was taken straight from Brad blog, I'm happy to say, you know, they would have Chris Matthews have had me on? No, it had to be someone like Bobby Kennedy before they would even consider talking about the topic.
Well, and Matthews was deferential with him and didn't use his usual, you know, peppered with interruptions approach. He let Bobby talk, But Bobby knew he had a limited time window, and he was trying to jam as much information in as possible. What do you think were the key points he made, Brad?
Well, he talked about a number of things. He certainly talked about the Princeton report that just came out, that a virus was added to a Diebold machine, which has been making news, I'm happy to say, all over the place.
And it's all your fault.
It's all, once again, my fault, blame me.
All roads lead to Brad.
Yes, I know. But shh, don't tell anyone. in fact, Ed Felton, the Princeton professor, demonstrated that hack yesterday in Congress, where they actually had hearings mm-hmm. for the first time on electronic voting, first time in, actually, I think, ever. It was in Bob Ney's old committee, so now that he's gone, they've got a new guy who's willing to get in there and lie about this stuff. And
yeah, his name is Ehlers from Michigan.
Yeah, that's right. And AP was more than happy, Associated Press was more than happy to give him coverage. They ran this story yesterday. I mean, look, I talked to people who were at this hearing. They demonstrated this hack. They showed people voting for George Washington and having the results come out for Benedict Arnold on the Diebold machine right before their very eyes in Congress. And then Ed Felton said, shall we do a recount? And he pushed a button, and it came out, of course, exactly the same way. Saw it right before their very eyes. Everybody who was unaware of the Princeton hack was just amazed about this. Associated Press leaves the hearing early, goes home, and writes a lawmaker dubious about using paper voting. I mean, it was incredible, and he got so many complaints. The article itself, this fellow's name was David Hammer. The article itself was rewritten about five times yesterday until it achieved something that looked like some form of balance.
Did somebody just, tip him off that there was a replay on C-SPAN and he could get the part that he left early and missed?
The part that he missed? Well, before that ran late last night on C-SPAN, they had updated it to something like lawmaker and critics debate whether paper ballots should be used or something like that. I mean, but, you know, you had to go kicking and screaming and pulling teeth to get it done, and this is Associated Press.
Yeah.
So that version of the story that comes out on AP, the first version, usually, is going to be the one that is picked up around the world in newspapers, on websites. And, I mean, it's just incredibly skewed and incredibly slanted.
Brad, we'll talk more about that hearing after the coming break here. I want to sneak in Ed from Aptos because he wants to talk to you. Hello, Ed. You're on the air.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
How's the state of your high copperosity today?
How is what?
The state of your high copperosity today.
Oh, actually, don't cut off, Peter. What do you mean, Ed?
Oh, it's just a term my dad used to talk to me. It's a nonsensical term that we used to throw out at all the neighborhood kids.
Okay, I was trying to figure out
anyhow,
exactly what it
I'm
means.
I'm wasting time here. No, I want to thank Brad for his dogness and keeping up on this thing. I was just wondering if the Woodward book, I guess, doesn't have anything in it. This upcoming Woodward book?
No, not that I've...
Or so. It's not
no,
that.
It's mostly inside gossip at the White House about Iraq.
Okay. But I really appreciate the Brad's...
I'm sorry. Brad's trying to say something. Go ahead, Brad.
No, I'm sorry. I think that's an autobiography of Bob Woodward's, isn't it?
Okay. Well, I hadn't had a chance to listen to too much about it except for the little blurb about how the Bush White House is screwing up.
Well, there's a lengthy, it's not an excerpt, but it's a kind of capsule of the book in the New York Times today, if you can find a hard copy or look at it online.
I'll do that. Okay. Well, you guys keep up the good work. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ed. Always good to hear from you.
Thanks,
more
Ed.
Calls welcome here if you'd like to join us before Brad leaves at the top of the hour. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We're ranked number one, and we use touchscreen machines for our polling. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Let's take a look at your Friday drive home in and around the Monterey Bay area. Still dealing with problems in Salinas. It's southbound 101 at Ralph Lane. This crash involves an SUV that collided with the guardrail, so one lane is still blocked. New problems in Scotts Valley, southbound along Highway 17 before Granite Creek Road. Three deer walking on the right shoulder. Now, the good news is no one is injured and there hasn't been an accident, but there is slow traffic in the area due to this. My best advice is stay to the left side of the road. Also problems in Rio Del Mar now, southbound 1 before Freedom Boulevard. It's a truck tire and it's blocking the right-hand lane, and that's enough to cause some slowing in the area. This look at traffic brought to you by Sleep Train, your ticket to a better night's sleep. For a limited time, you can choose to have Sleep Train pay your sales tax, or you could pay no interest for 18 months on approved credit when you purchase any premium mattress set. Sleep Train, it's your ticket to a better night's sleep. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, our final segment here on a Friday evening. I want to thank you for joining us today. And if you have a comment about the program, feel free to email me, Peter at peterbcollins.com. Pro or con, we'll accept your comments. We continue now with Brad Friedman, and in case you've never heard about it, he runs a fabulous website, a blog at bradblog.com, and I want to encourage you to visit there because there's a lot of powerful information, and he works 24/7 to keep it updated, and he also works hard to advance the interests of those of us who want to rescue our election process from the vagaries of corporate control, the electronic machines that are so unreliable, and other issues that have come up, like the Republican power grab that inserted Brian Bilbray into the Congress before the election had been certified this past June in Southern California in San Diego. Brad, as we were talking about just before the break, there was a hearing yesterday before the House Administration Committee, and as you pointed out, Bob Ney couldn't make it. He resigned as chairman but is still a member picking up a paycheck because, well, he has no ethics. And apparently he's broke and needs the money to that the checks will keep coming until January. At any rate, I caught part of the C-SPAN replay last night, and there were just a couple of things. There were references, repeated references, to Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren of San Jose, who is a great representative, a bright woman, and an attorney who understands the law, I think, in great depth. I didn't get to hear her comments in the replay. Did you get to capture what Lofgren had to say?
No, finally, I did not get to watch the hearings. I was only able to got reports from folks who were in the hearing room and so forth. I hope to have a highlight reel of it actually up at Brad Blog soon that someone's been preparing for me. But no, I haven't seen it, so I'm not sure what it was she said.
All right. The one piece of testimony that I did see that reflected our viewpoint was a woman named Barbara Simons from the Association of Computer Machinery. And she was in a row of people who were testifying, mostly registrars of voters, who were talking about how happy they are with their Diebold TSX machines. And when she first came on, I saw this Association for Computer Machinery, and I said, oh, here comes a lobbyist. We're not going to get anything. And then I sat back and ate my words, because she came out with a very strong argument in favor of a paper trail at minimum, and offered a pretty broad indictment of the electronic machines and the issues that we've discussed about the security, the sleepovers in the custody of election workers, and some of the other issues that we've talked about. But the snapshot that I got of the hearing was basically people pushing the line that electronic voting machines are great and they're terrific for disabled people and things of that nature. So I guess it was a lengthy hearing, and there were a lot of different ups and downs.
Well, yeah, that's what I understand. And remember, a lot of this was scheduled by Rush Holtz, who's been pushing his H.R. 550 bill, which in many ways it's a good bill, but I've got sort of two big complaints with it. Really, the biggest is that it talks about paper records and paper trails, and I believe we've talked in the past about the difference between these paper trails. What I fear is that a lot of these election integrity advocates out there are going to be, they love to shorthand things as paper trails instead of paper ballots, and there is a big difference. You know, the paper trails are the little receipts that roll off of these touchscreen systems and so forth, but they're not actually counted. A ballot is a thing which must be counted. And, it seems like a small distinction, although I promise you it's one that Karl Rove and Frank Luntz would understand.
Mm.
And I wish we could make folks on the election integrity side understand the difference. You know, if they go ahead and institute and standardize these touchscreen machines simply because they have a paper trail, I think we're going to be looking at what we will, if they pass their legislation, I think we're going to end up calling that HAVA 2 down the line. So I would caution them and your listeners when talking about this, and I'm sure they are. I'm sure they're calling their boards of election and, asking them about this. Please make sure you tell them we need paper ballots, not paper trails.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Speaking of ballots, there was a court ruling in the past week in Ohio which overturned a plan by Ken Blackwell to destroy the ballots from the questionable 2004 presidential election in Ohio. There's also a voter integrity conference in Cleveland this weekend, and everybody but Brad is there. Mark Crispin Miller, Paul Leto, the list goes on and on. The guys from Columbus, Harvey Wasserman and Bob Petrakis from freepress.org. So it's very interesting that this occurred in time for this conference, and I hope it gives a little momentum there. Do you have any insight into what the agenda is in Cleveland?
Well, excuse me. It's an event, by the way. Velvet Revolution is sponsoring that, and they invited me a month or two to go, and I just was not able to get out to that one. But yeah, it's got all the heavyweights really in the election integrity movement. It's right there, of course, in the belly of the beast in Ohio, so it should be a hell of an event. And I think it's once again to raise awareness of this. It's a case we shouldn't have to keep making over and over again, but we really do. To catapult the propaganda, as they said.
Right.
And I think the agenda is, once again, calling for electoral integrity and hoping that the media covers it and pays attention, particularly in that snake pit that is Ohio.
Hey, watch it. That's where I grew up.
I know. Your old home snake pit.
So yeah, I'm the snake who got on a plane and got out.
I know. Snakes on a plane. Well, I may have, by the way, a story for you next week. It looks like we may well have our first dirty trick coming out of Ohio on the election system. I can't report it yet, but I've got some interesting documents and photographic skills. scan that I hope to be sharing for you in some part next week.
Okay, that's very interesting. We have 40 nights and 39 days remaining to the election.
Hey, let me throw out here, we'll call it fun. Check out bradblog.com, some of my coverage of what Tom Feeney is now doing to our friend Clint Curtis, who you've had on your show. He's a vote-rigging whistleblower.
Right.
Who has accused Tom Feeney of asking him to grade vote-rigging software. He's now running against Feeney down there, and Feeney has turned on a hundreds of thousands of dollar campaign to create a website called CrazyClintCurtis.com. I'm happy to give the address so people can check it out. Leave a comment on their blog if you have any thoughts about any of this. Frankly, it's embarrassing for poor Tom Feeney that he's got to sink to this level with such a slime website. I mean, that's what it is. It's a smear website where he's got doctored pictures of Clint Curtis. And, of course, Feeney has never answered to the allegation. He has never taken a lie detector test, as Clint Curtis has and successfully passed. So,
I think Feeney's doing a delay here because Tom DeLay is a master at taking his weaknesses and projecting them onto his political opponents. And Feeney seems certifiable crazy to me. And by projecting that onto Curtis, it's worked for Tom DeLay, the exterminator. So I guess Feeney hopes it's going to work for him.
Yeah, he's out of his mind. And if you take a look at it for even more than a few minutes, I mean, he accuses Curtis of all of these things and then shows this proof for these claims that he's making. But the proof itself would seem to disprove the very claim that Feeney is making. It's really twisted. It's really sick, and, I hope it just leads folks to supporting Clint Curtis for Congress, ClintCurtis.com. Support him. He needs it because, guess what, the Democratic Party, the DCCC, and
right.
Those guys
not there.
Sending in money.
Brad Friedman, bradblog.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. A commercial airliner is missing in Brazil.
The only information we have that it's a Boeing 737 of Gol Airlines that have disappeared after a shocking with another plane in the state of Pará, in the north of the country.
Reporter George Barris of O Globo. The authorities say the Gol Airlines plane had 140 people on board, and the collision happened shortly after that plane took off from the town in the Amazon.
At this moment, they are doing search in the region to search people and the plane, of course.
Iraq is under a curfew this weekend. Cars and pedestrians are banned from the city streets. CBS News military analyst Mike Lyon says it's an unusual move, but could be based on specific intelligence of an impending attack.
It can be effective, and it allows the U.S. and Iraqi forces to really focus on particularly where the enemy is. But now the downside to those is that they slow down commerce and they slow down trade. And they slow down people's every day of getting on with their lives.
U.S. military officials had warned of an upsurge in violence during Ramadan. A Florida Republican congressman abruptly resigned today, not citing a reason, but it's believed to center around what may be inappropriate emails.
Congressman Mark Foley's sudden resignation seemed to stun his own staff.
He's resigned.
Until late this afternoon, Foley was considered a shoo-in for re-election in his South Central Florida district. He resigned effective immediately amid a scandal over his contacts with young male Capital Pages.
Correspondent Cheryl Atkinson reports one 16-year-old former page called Foley's emails sick. The emails have been handed over to the FBI. Former JonBenet Ramsey murder suspect John Mark Carr will go on trial in California on child pornography charges, even though investigators lost computer evidence against him. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman is in Santa Rosa, where a hearing has been underway to determine whether that case would move forward.
The prosecution still cannot find the original computer where the alleged child pornography was found. Defense attorneys argued that without the computer, the case should be dismissed. The judge refused to do that, but she did indicate that she believes the prosecution's case has serious problems.
Carr faces five misdemeanor charges. There's been a second deadly school shooting in a week.